Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. I'm happy to be here tonight to talk about an issue that is extremely important. It should be everyone's favorite topic. We're going to be talking this evening about love, okay? And we're going to talk about it. We're going to approach it from a different perspective than you may be used to hearing love discussed. You know, in society and media, you hear, you know, magazines, TV, radio, things like that. Everyone's in love, you know, people are making love, and I love you, you love me, and these people are in love. And what we're seeing is a very worldly, inaccurate description and definition and depiction of love in many cases that totally contradicts what the Bible says love is truly. You know, if you know anything about the word, you know that God, in fact, is love, right? So if God is love, then, and we'll talk more about this, but just to introduce it, if you're dealing with someone or you're, you know, using the word love in a context that doesn't 100% embody what God and Jesus Christ is all about, well, then that's not love, you know? And we have several examples tonight of exactly what the biblical definition of love, the Bible speaks, you know, all throughout about the truest sense of the word. And so we're going to discuss that tonight. I've got a couple songs that I want to play for you that I feel like really do a good job of explaining some of the great qualities that you should look out for in a truly loving relationship. We've got a couple advice questions tonight. You guys are welcome to call in with any types of questions or comments or feedback. And I want to hear from some lovers, man, you know, some people who are actually in love. That'd be great. You know, this is our sixth year on the air, over 1,000 episodes. We've heard thousands of, you know, situations and callers who are dealing with hurt, pain, resentment, you know, bitterness and, you know, just drama. And so it'd be great, a great contrast to hear from some married couples, although I suspect that you're, you know, not listening to the show. You're probably chilling with your, you know, your boo. But, you know what I'm saying, that would be great as well. So definitely feel free at any time, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypads, you know, if you have something to say. And we can take it from there. Courtney is here with me tonight. Courtney, what's going on with you?
Hey, I am excellent. How are you?
Courtney said, hey. I'm so excited tonight, Courtney. What's good? You want to hear about some love, huh?
Well, yeah, it's that and, you know, some other stuff going on. So, yeah, I'm excited.
You have some good news for us? Anything you want to share?
It's my birthday tomorrow, so.
Hey, we probably won't be, in fact, I know we won't be live tomorrow night. So let me say now, happy birthday to you. You know, everybody who's listening and is connected with Courtney on Facebook in some capacity, you know, write on her wall, send her a message, make her feel loved, show her some appreciation. What do you have planned for tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'm chilling, but I think like Friday I'm going to get a massage, I'm going to treat myself, going to lunch with friends, chilling. So, yeah. Going to be relaxing.
Excellent. That's the best way to spend it. That's what's up, man. It's funny. I was just talking to my wife. We're actually thinking about doing a couples massage. You know, I've never done that before. In fact, I've never ever had a professional massage, if you guys can believe that. I've never really been. I don't know if men are into that type of thing. Like, you know what I mean? It always seems to be like more of a female thing. But I'm getting a massage at some point, man. So you guys be stressing me out there. The psychos, the haters, the weirdos, you know what I mean? So, we're going to do that. But, like I said, we're going to talk about love tonight and really explore, really, like I said earlier, why and how it's so much of a commonly misused term. You know, it's really, I can't even think of a word that is more commonly misused or, you know, and used in out of the proper context. So definitely we're going to do that. Couple things before we get into our discussion on love. As you guys know, the Emmys were this weekend. Are you into the Emmys? Did you watch, Courtney?
Absolutely not. What happened?
What? Oh, hold on. So wait a minute. You'll watch the MTV Music Awards, but not the Emmys?
Exactly, yes.
What? Okay. It is. Actually, you know what? I've never been a big Emmy Well, it's funny because I just like to know who won. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like watching the Academy Awards. I just like to know who won the Academy or who won the Emmy. I'm happy, though, because the best show on television won the Emmy for best show on television, which, as
Here
many of you know, is Breaking Bad. Now, Courtney gave up prematurely on Breaking Bad, I understand. Is that right?
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. No.
You couldn't do it? What, you just weren't into it?
It did not grab my attention, so I moved on. I may come back to it, but not anytime soon.
Okay. That's what's up, man. Well, look, if you guys are Breaking Bad fans out there, and, you know, I know everyone knows one of the most highly anticipated events in recent memory is the series finale of Breaking Bad is this Sunday. You know what I mean? I'm excited. Best show ever. Well, one of the best shows. One of my top three favorite shows of all time. So I'm excited about that. But I say all that to say the Emmys were on Sunday. And I posted about this on, I think, like Monday or, you know, Monday morning when I heard about it. I'm happy that everybody was all, you know, watching and anticipating Kerry Washington winning an Emmy for her portrayal of Olivia Pope on Scandal. And if you guys are newer listeners, definitely go back and listen to we did, I think, two specials on discussing the ins and outs of Scandal. One was just entitled Scandal, Why So Many Black Women Love Olivia Pope. Definitely, that's probably one of the top two best episodes in the history of this show, that show that we did on Scandal. Then we did another one a little bit later in the series where we discussed the episode where she was talking about Earn Me. So if you Google Earn Me on the Dayton Tolbert Show, you'll hear another discussion about how many women in today's society feel a sense of entitlement, and they want men to chase them and pursue them and, you know, game playing and all just types of foolishness that will leave women single. So definitely I would encourage you guys to check out those two episodes that were not so long ago. And even in the last hour, many of you remember the last hour of the first episode the discussion we had on Scandal, we discussed in detail Ezekiel 23 that speaks specifically about how God views hoish behavior, which many of you guys have been talking about, you know, ever since, which was one of the deepest shows, biblically sound, I mean, just crazy shows you'll ever hear. So definitely I would encourage everyone to check that out. I know you remember that show, Courtney.
Oh, yeah, that was a classic. Who could forget that one?
I mean, I'm just telling y'all, radio does not get better than that. I mean, I'm just saying, that was like just very, very, very a great show. So check it out. But I was very happy to hear that Kerry Washington did not win the Emmy. Now you're saying, well, why would you not want the African-American woman to win? Well, the problem with it is that in today's society, you know, African-American women, not even in today's society, historically, African-American women have always been portrayed in the media as being hoes, you know, low self-esteem, the white man's whore, the jump off, the mistress, just foolishness. You know, I mean, when is the last time you really saw an African-American woman rewarded by the Emmys, by the Academy Awards, you know, for just being a strong, positive black woman? You know, I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I'd have to really go back and really think about when it has happened. Nothing jumps out at me off the top of my head. I think of Halle Berry getting her back blown out by Billy Bob Thornton. You know what I'm saying? Those types of things. I think about Monique winning the Oscar for being a crack whore in Precious. I mean, those are the two that, like, really jump out at me. But, you know what I'm saying? So I just didn't want to see, Kerry Washington winning for being the white man, the president's whore, the president's jump off, who gets, you know, pulled into a closet, gets bent over and smashed off in the electrical closet of the White House. I mean, that's just whorish behavior, and I did not want to see the Emmys reward that type of foolishness. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to, now I'm happy to report that Claire Danes won for her portrayal for the second year in a row of my second favorite show of all time, which is Homeland. Now, that's a show right there. Scandal is okay. But if you watch Homeland and you watch Scandal, there is literally no comparison. Anyone who watches both will tell you that. There's not a person on the planet who watches Homeland and Scandal and would say Scandal is better. So, or would say Kerry Washington is better than Claire Danes in Scandal. There's not a person on the planet. So definitely check out Homeland. It actually comes on this Sunday at 9 o'clock on Showtime, season 3. Returns. Now, I know I don't think you're a watcher of Homeland yet. Courtney, we got to get you put on to some of these classic shows, man. I mean, what's going on?
How do you know? I never told
I know
you
everything.
Whether or not I
was. Courtney, don't do that. You know I know everything, and you know and I know you have never watched one episode of Homeland. Am I right? Don't lie,
yeah.
Courtney. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right this time, but one day you're going to be wrong. You just happen to be
okay.
Right this time.
All right. Well, Courtney and everybody else, definitely check out Home. Listen, you guys, I won't steer you wrong with relationship advice, dating advice, and I will not steer you wrong on these television shows. You watch what I say to watch, and you will be in for some classic television. I promise you that. I got everybody watching Prison Break 10 years after it was over. Great show. Check that out if you haven't already. It's funny, I had a tennis match yesterday with this guy, and we were waiting for a court, and we were just talking, you know, making small talk, and funny thing is, we were just talking about TV, and he was like, yeah, you know, Prison Break, Breaking Bad, 24, and Lost are like some of his favorite shows, or like really his favorite shows of all time, so those are my exact favorite shows of all time, so pretty interesting coincidence. So there was that about the Emmys, so I'm happy, that didn't happen. Also, something else I want to just mention with you guys, this whole Steve Harvey thing. I mean, you know, and I've tried to not even really, you know, mention him so much because, you know, I think you guys know by now what it is and, you know, the effect that the whole 90-day rule and, you know, all that, the whole thing, thinking like a man, is just destroying the black community and poisoning the minds of black women who are really seeking, informative relationship advice. But, you know, I heard there's this new thing with the 90-day challenge. There's a bracelet to go along with it. Have you heard about that, Courtney?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Because I'm not even all that familiar. What do you know the premise of it? Like, what's it all about?
No, I don't know the premise of it. I've just heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, from what I understand, it's, you know, it's some type of challenge, you know, that's, you know, encouraging women to wait more than 90 days for sex, and you wear this bracelet just to, you know, signify that that's what you're doing, so when people see you, they will know, like, kind of what you represent. I mean, these are definitely the last days. Because this is something that is completely opposite of what the Bible teaches. It's completely opposite of common sense, for that matter. But certainly, this is stuff straight from the enemy. There's nothing biblical, not one thing that's biblical about waiting 90 days for sex. You understand that? It's illogical from a male perspective. I mean, any man would wait 90 days to have sex with you and not think twice about it and then dog you out on the 91st day, which is exactly what we're seeing. You know, I've personally counseled hundreds of women who've been dogged as a result of following the 90-day rule. Hundreds. You know what I'm saying? And you factor in the advice questions, we're talking about over 1,000. You understand? So personally, that's just me. So you can only imagine how many women around the world have fallen on hard times and had their feelings hurt, you know, STDs as a result of trying to follow some type of ridiculous, you know, rule or barometer for, you know, as far as how to gauge when a man is interested in you based on how long he waits for sex. That's ludicrous. You know what I'm saying? So to wear a bracelet, that signifies, hey, look, I'm waiting 9 days. You're putting a bullseye right on your head. I'll say head, but I really wanted to say your rear end, you know, because that's what you're doing. You're saying, damn, all I got to do is wait 90 days? All I've got to do, you know, and unfortunately, the problem with that is that these men aren't even waiting 90 days. They're having sex with other women and then will come back for you on the 91st, 92nd day. And really, the reality is nobody waits 90 days even when you are supposedly waiting 90 days. You know, women are like, oh, yeah, I'm waiting 90 days. Then you give it up after 30 days. I mean, let's just be honest about that. you know, back in your former life, Courtney, was that ever something that you, you know, thought of doing or trying out, just the whole waiting thing?
I'm actually going to say no. That wasn't something I really struggled with, only because, you know, I've only slept with two people. So for me, it wasn't about the sex. It was more so about the attention, that I just wanted attention from a man. I didn't care about the physical act of it. So it was nothing for me to wait, you know, years. You know, not have sex for years with a guy. It wasn't a big deal. But even so, even after those years, you know, went by, I still got dogged because, you know, of the state of emotional unavailability, it wouldn't have worked either way. So, yeah.
It's really unfortunate because we see a lot of guys out here who are in that dog stage, in that player stage, you know, and then they end up just, you know, targeting women and lying and, you know, which is what we're going to get into. Because what's happening now is as we tie that in, you're seeing men pretending to be, you know, in love with you. Women are saying, I've even asked women, so a lot of my counseling, I'll even ask women, you know, how do you feel about sex? What are your views on sex? Many of them will say, well, you know, I have to at least be, you know, in a relationship with you, or I have to at least have feelings for you. We have to have some type of agreement or arrangement. And I say, well, as far as feelings go, if you have feelings for him, you feel comfortable having sex with him? They say, yeah. And I say, okay, well, have you factored in and considered the feelings of the man? They say, well, yeah, of course. They have to be feeling me as well. Well, I say, well, how will you know that? I say, I don't know. You know, see, that's the problem. Because men are very good and have become even better in today's society with seeming as though they are in love with you or nowadays have feelings for you, right? But see, that's not enough for a man to stick around after sex, because that's where the disconnect is. Women are thinking, okay, if I sleep with him and if he has feelings for me, then he won't dog me. But that's not how that works. See, because it's not enough for a man to be feeling you. He has to actually have feelings for you and actually love you. You know what I'm saying? And for you to know when a man truly loves you, first of all, you 90% of the time, you won't know that until there's some type of ring involved, whether it's marriage or certainly him, you know, in getting engaged and actively planning a wedding with you. All that stuff outside of that usually is fabricated. Nobody's going to fabricate a $10,000 engagement ring. Okay, that's not going to happen. No one's going to marry you just for sex. You know, that's not how that works. But hey, yeah, man, oh yeah, we're together. Oh, how come you didn't link our Facebook? Oh, no, I'm not really on Facebook like that. Oh, no. I'm not into, you know, everybody in my business. Oh, okay, right. But yeah, matter of fact, why don't we just keep our relationship on the DL? Let's keep it on the low. Like, oh, okay, that's cool. Right? So now you're in a relationship. It's been 90 days, so now you feel comfortable having sex with him. But this guy is out there doing what he does, you know, and has been doing. And you see, you know, and now next thing you know, 90 days turns into 6 months, you know, 8-9 months that you've been, quote-unquote, dealing with this man. And then after about 10-11 months, you find out now you have herpes because you've been letting him hit it raw for the last couple months. See, these aren't fictional stories. These are real. I've heard countless stories like I just described. In fact, I'm thinking of one woman in particular as I'm telling this story. But I've heard tons of stories similar to that. So I'm saying, ladies, don't get dogged under the pretense of being in love. Because love, we're going to talk about the definition of love tonight. But the reality is, most people, men and females, you know, have never actually been in love. That's the reality. So many people, 30 years old, 40 years old, 25 years old, oh, yeah, I used to be in love. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as I used to be in love or I used to love him, but I don't anymore. We were together and we were – no. See, that's an oxymoron. Love is forever, right? See, love is never ending. And we'll talk about what the Bible says about that, but just so you know, love doesn't end. So there's no such thing as I used to, you know, you being single right? You can't be single but have been in love in the past. That's you know what I'm saying? This is going to be a historic show because we're going to just totally destroy the old definition of what most people think love is. And it's okay to never have been in love. That's okay. I realized that I was never in love before my wife. You know what I'm saying? And most of you, if you're listening, you've never been in love. Because if you're not with that person, that means that that person was not treating you in a godly manner. If God is love, how can you have been in love if you weren't being treated in a godly manner? That doesn't make any sense. Am I making sense, Courtney? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you really are. But, you know, I'll be honest, I used to think that I was in love before. Like, and I wasn't looking at it from a biblical standpoint. I was looking at it as, okay, if it doesn't work out, because I love this person and I perceive that he loves me, you know, one day we'll be back together and we'll be in love again. Like, no, no, that's not how it works. That person never leaves and you never leave them.
Right.
You know, it works out.
And love is a noun. This is one of the biggest problems. If you guys go back to English class from back in the day, you have to realize that a lot of people are using love as a verb incorrectly. You know what I'm saying? Love is really not a verb. It's a noun. It is a thing, a person, place, or thing. It's really a thing. You understand that? It's we are in love. You know, I love you, you love me, we have love, we are in love. That's the definition of love in its truest sense. What we're seeing a lot of in today's society is, oh, women saying, I love him or I loved him, but he treated me like crap. Why'd you have sex with him? Oh, because I loved him back at the time. No, no, no. You can't love someone who doesn't love you back. That's not love. It's something. You know what I'm saying? Which we'll talk about, you know, what that is. But it definitely is not love. Because, again, if you're not being treated in a godly manner, that's not love. So, you know what I'm saying? Unless it's reciprocal, okay, that then it's not love. Anything outside of a perfect union in God's eyes is not love. You can't put that title on it. Because, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but that's you're going to be using it outside of the proper context. And what we see a lot of is of these immature men, like I said, the men in that dog stage, the player stage, who are dealing with women, leading them on, and the women see that. Because a lot of women are not stupid. You know, some are naive, but, I mean, very few women are just stupid, you know, to the point where they don't know that they're being used, or they don't know that, you know what, hey, this really isn't love. And so what happens is, though, the insecurity kicks in, the self-esteem kicks in, or lack thereof, you know what I'm saying, and that causes you to stay in a situation that clearly is not love. You know, in fact, I said online earlier, I said that, ladies, never let the immaturity of a man cause you to question your self-worth as a woman. Now, that was obviously a very popular, you know, post. You know, it's kind of like that. It's not sugarcoated at all. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it was very women-friendly. So the women gave that the thumbs up. You know what I mean? Well over 1,000 thumbs up in, you know, in the various forums where I posted it all over Facebook, and even more than that now I think about it. And so, you know, but at the same time, yeah, men can be immature. But at the same time, you've got to have that self-esteem weighed up to the point where you don't ignore the signs of not being in love just because you're, you know what I'm saying, struggling within yourself to be, you know, to not be alone. Is that anything you can relate to?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, I can remember just feeling down and not feeling good about myself, you know, after having my feelings hurt and, you know, not liking what I saw in the mirror and just feeling just depressed, just over being hurt. It really did a number on my self-esteem. It really did. And it just came in the form of not being able to sleep or overeating or, you know, whatever. It took, you know, various forms. And, yeah, that's something I can relate to.
Right. And here's the thing, ladies. You can't, you know, what we're seeing a lot of is you're seeing women, complaining about not having love or not being treated in the manner that they want to be treated in, you know, or being used for sex, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you keep having sex with them, right? I mean, that doesn't really go together. You can't keep having sex with somebody and then complain that he's only using you for sex. At some point, you have to cut the string, you have to cut the ties. Why is that so hard, Courtney?
Because, I mean, it just goes back to self-esteem or lack thereof. It's like you rather have something than nothing. I think it scares a lot of women, including myself at one point, just to be by yourself and trust God. And, you know, it's that unknown. But that's where faith comes in.
And that's the key. We'll talk a little bit more about faith, you know, as far as I always say, in fact, when you trust God, when you have faith in God, you never have to worry about not trusting a man. You know what I'm saying? A lot of women out here have trust issues. You know what I'm saying? You know, based on the fact that they've been lied to and dogged and abused and, you know, all types of things, manipulated, used, you know, by men from their past. But when you are trusting God, you can let those trust issues go because you have faith that he's going to bless you with the person that he has, where you're not going to have to deal with those issues. But where, you know, the Bible says that when you don't have faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you're not pleasing to God, the likelihood of God blessing you with actual love is pretty slim to none. You know, in fact, when I do all my counseling sessions, one of the first questions that I ask is, you know, what's your relationship with God like? 99% of the women who I've ever worked with have said something to the effect of, well, you know, it's not really that great right now, or it's not where I want it to be, or I'm building it back up to where it should be, you know, or it's just not there at all, which always correlates to them reaching out because their love life is not where they want it to be. Great relationship with God, usually great relationship. Not so good relationship with God, you get the drama. I mean, that's just how it goes. I'm sure you can relate to that throughout the course of your life.
Yeah, definitely, because I just had those issues with faith and just feeling like, you know, because of one situation, you know, that happened to me, that was just going to be representative of everything. Like, so one man hurt me, so that means that every man afterwards is going to hurt me, and I'm never going to find love.
Right. And that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's nothing but a lie, because that's, you know, that's not even biblical. You know, let's talk about what we see a lot of in today's society from a biblical standpoint. One of the things that, you know, is going on in today's society, in life, around the world, around the country, specifically in the black community, I see a lot of, is that women are confusing sexual attention for genuine interest. You know, which is something we talk about a lot here on this show. You know, we see women, you know, wearing certain outfits to, you know, to accentuate certain parts of their body that they know will bring them attention. Well, what happens is that attention comes from men, specifically targeting them for sex, because the woman doesn't want to be targeted for sex, she wants to be respected, but is going about it the wrong way, the men have to alter, you know, their approach. And then but again, it doesn't mean that their intent was genuine. It means that it was still about the sex. It was still sexual attention, but they're now just disguising it as genuine interest. And so what happens is they end up taking them out. They end up spending time. And then the women end up confusing time spent with love. And let me just tell you something. Love, ladies, is not defined by how much time a man spends with you. A man can spend his whole work week with you, you know, the weekends, but at the end of the day, it's really not too much out here. You know, any man will tell you that. It's not too many great women out here. So if a man is chilling with you, that doesn't mean that, you know, he loves you. It just means that it's a nice couch to cuddle up on, nice bed, you got the good cable channels, you know, Netflix is popping, you can cook a good steak. Hey, I mean, when I was single, And back when we, you know, me and the homies were rolling out, doing what we did, that was the ideal situation. I'm just being honest with you guys. We would have someone who we could chill with, back, you know what I mean? Like, just the kind of the ride or die, not the girlfriend, don't get that twisted, but someone we could chill with a nice quote-unquote situation, you know, and then we would still be out there hitting the clubs, doing whatever, you know, hanging out, and ultimately looking for the woman we would one day marry. And so I'm just being honest with you. Like, that's what a lot of men are doing. Don't be a situation, because that's what a lot of you are, a nice situation. Nice crib, nice car, a couple dollars, you know what I mean? No drama, no kids. And so they take advantage of that, and as a result, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm a great woman, so he's going to love me. He, you know, we are building something, when in reality, there's no, you're not building anything. He's just chilling with you because of the situation, your situation. How do you feel about that? Have you ever been viewed as a situation, Courtney, as opposed to love?
Yes. As when you were talking about it, you know, I my mind went back to that situation that I was in. And, you know, I was a situation. I had my own place. And, you know, I would cook and, you know, we watch TV, watch movies, cuddle, spent a lot of time. Like, I saw this person every day, all the time. I woke up next to this person, like, every day, all the time. And so in my head, I'm thinking it's a relationship, you know, it's going somewhere. And then on his end, it was just purely sexual. But, of course, you know, he didn't communicate that to me. So, you know, and men won't do that. And so, you know, I really fell for it. And so what ended up happening is, I mean, I tell the story all the time that, you know, I wound up catching him having sex with somebody else to realize that I was a situation and that it meant nothing. And then ultimately, you know, to catch an STD from that person. And so, you know, it should never, you know, get to that point where you have to realize that you've been used, as opposed to seeing it for what it is early so that you can walk away, or better yet, not even attracting that person in the first place.
Right, right, absolutely. It's funny, that situation you just described, I had the same situation. Back in the day, there was this young woman who I was dealing with, and it's funny, I told this story about three times today on three different counseling sessions, but back in the day, and it just shows you how similar these situations are. Women all around the world that I work with, you know, can relate to the same, Courtney being one of them, right, the story she just named, about three or four other women that I'm thinking of right off the top of my head can relate to that same exact situation, being that woman. One woman, same thing. Every day I was at her crib, you know, spending time, you know, went on for several months. Now she's thinking it was some type of relationship, but I mean, you know, I told her, but I wasn't, as Courtney said, I didn't communicate that to her. But at the same time, in the beginning, I did tell her that, hey, look, I'm not really looking for anything serious. I'm just looking to, you know, kind of chill, focused on my career, and which was all BS. You know what I mean? Like, it was just that I didn't see a future with her. And, lady, when you hear that, there's no man on the planet who's going to put his career in front of a woman who he truly loves. That's one of the number one excuses men use when they don't want you. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what they tell you. Careers never, ever will come before a woman who he truly loves. You will be his number one priority when he loves you. If he's not putting you first, if you're not a priority, if his career is a priority, if his friends are a priority, he does not love you. He is most likely using you for sex or for whatever it is that he's using you for, whether it's money, convenience, whatever. But the bottom line is he does not love you. Okay? Please understand that, ladies. And I said this earlier. I said you can never, ever make a man love you. You know, you can't do it. I don't care. In that situation, there was nothing that woman could have made me do to love her. You know what I'm saying? There was nothing that guy that Courtney was dealing with, you know what I'm saying? There was nothing she could have done to make him love her. You know, the good news about that is that when you've been found by the right man, you won't have to. And that's the key. That's the good news there. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to make someone love you when they genuinely love you. When it's the man that God has for you, you don't have to make him. In fact, my wife didn't have to make me. She couldn't, even if she wanted to. You can't make someone love you. Either they do or they don't. Either it's meant to be or it's not. You can't put a piece of a puzzle into a slot where it doesn't fit. You know what I'm saying? I feel good tonight, Courtney. I feel like having one of those classic all-time shows here. You know,
I do
too. Cool with that?
Yeah.
I feel like having this show go down in history. In fact, a couple years ago today, I know it was a Wednesday, a couple years ago, several, maybe even like 2-3 years ago, on a Wednesday, I remember it specifically, we did another classic show in, by this same exact title. So when you go back to the archives and you want to, you know, Google the definition of love, you'll find this show, but you'll also find another show from a couple years ago where we discussed this same topic, but from a much different perspective. This is a much more biblically based, approach that we're taking to both shows. Were real. That was definitely an all-time classic show a couple years ago, but this is, you know what I'm saying, just a different perspective. So there's that. Definitely can't make a man love you. Sexual attention should never be confused with genuine interest or love. If you meet somebody and all they're about is what's your favorite position, how are you with massages, how do you like to arch your back, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are all things that he's just trying to smash. There are two ways that a man is going to look at you later, or two ways he's going to communicate with you. And there's a whole section on this that I do with my in my private counseling. I've actually developed what I call a five-phase cycle towards achieving 100% emotional availability. And a big part of that is understanding men. That's one of the cycles that we discuss, and or I should say the phases that we discuss. And, you know, there are two ways that a man is going to communicate with you. He's going to either want to get to know about you, or he's going to want to genuinely get to know you, all right? And that's one of the most commonly misunderstood things out there. A lot of women out here are getting the introductory questions, the who, what, when, where, and whys, you know, the, let's see, you know, where do you work? You know, what do you do? What do you do on the weekends? Do you have a roommate? Where do you live? Do you have kids? You know, what's your favorite color? Like, just stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? Why would things that really don't even matter? I don't know. Do you have a big family? Do you have brothers who might come by to shoot me one day? You know what I'm saying? Is there an ex in the picture? A baby's father? Those are all questions that don't really say, hey, I'm trying to get to know you, or I am planning on loving you one day. But it has more to do with understanding, okay, what are the things that I need to know about you to get what I want, which is going to be 90% of the time sex. If you're going to have sex with someone, you've got to know the basics. You need to know where they live, what their work schedule's like, what their situation is like. Do they have roommates? You know what I'm saying? Like all that stuff. And so a lot of the first 3 to 4 conversations revolve strictly around those types of you know, meaningless information. But when a man is truly getting to know you, it's not going to be surfacey type of stuff. It's going to be, yo, you know, what kind of wedding do you want? You know, what's your 5-year plan? Like, what do you plan on doing? How's the relationship with your family? You know, like, are you close with your mom? Tell me about your mom. I want to know about your father. Are you guys close? You know, I mean, just everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's your spiritual beliefs like? Like, how do you feel about, you know, God? You know, deep stuff. You know, politics, religion. Not stuff that you stay away from. Nah, it's like, nah, I want to know how you feel about those things, because I plan on incorporating my life into your life. These are all things that you can know and that you will find out, you know, or these are conversations that will be had within the first week. So when I hear women saying, well, yeah, I've been dealing with him for, you know, 4 to 5 months, and it's like, well, I mean, 5 months, you'll know after 1 week if a man is planning on wifing you up. It will be very obvious just from the conversation. But if you don't know that stuff, then, you know what I'm saying? That's why I say, I mean, yeah, we do this show, but this stuff goes so much deeper. That's why I say, you know, definitely, you know, get on board with this counseling, get on board with this, you know, the emotional availability assessment, take the personality assessment. These are all things that need to happen, that need to happen for you to prepare to be found by the man that God has for you. Listen, I don't know, I mean, I got a little secret for you. This information that we, this has only been 40 minutes. Just the stuff we talked about in 40 minutes, you won't hear anywhere else. There's no book that this is contained in other than mine. There's no specials. There's no TV show. There's no radio. This information is nowhere else but right here. You understand that? So definitely reach out, you know, and set up the call at 855-55-DADON. Courtney, I mean, you know, the differences between getting to know you and knowing about you, that's, I mean, you've got a lot of the getting to know about you types of conversations back in the day.
Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, it was just very, very, you know, surface level questions. But I really, to be honest, I'm going to be real honest, like, I just was happy that someone was just even talking to me on the phone, because I just wanted that attention that I wasn't getting from my father. So it didn't matter what we were talking about. It's just the fact that we were having a conversation. I was good. I was happy in that moment. And not, so I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't thinking about, oh, well, does he really like me or not? And I just really settled. And I think that men were able to pick up on that. And so I got taken advantage of.
Yeah. Right. That's how it happens. See, and it's not, you said you think, it's one of those things men will absolutely be able to pick up on, which is one of the things that a lot of women don't realize. A lot of women are struggling with self-esteem. They're going through hurt. They're still in love with an ex. They're having sex with someone. And I say, well, you realize that these are things that men are going to pick up on, right? And they say, well, no, I didn't, you know, I thought that it was something that I could hide. I thought that, I mean, how would he know? I didn't mention it. Well, I said, well, yeah, you don't have to mention it. But you know what I'm saying? You cannot mention it all you want to. That doesn't mean if you don't take a shower, you don't have to mention that you didn't take a shower. You know, people are going to figure that out. They're going to smell you. That's just the same exact way how men can smell emotional unavailability, bitterness, hurt, pain, resentment. These are all things that you exude from your pores. There are tons, not just a couple, but tons of ways that you will be able to be almost exposed, you know, as not being emotionally available to give 100% of your heart. And if we're talking about love and the definition of love, there's no such thing as love if you're emotionally unavailable. Because true love is having the ability to give 100% of your heart. If 80% of your heart is only available to be given, well, then that's not love, you know? God isn't going to bless a godly man with a woman who's 75% emotionally available, 85%. Nah, we want the whole 100%. In fact, we want 200%. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, definitely, again, five-phase cycle towards achieving 100% emotional availability. That's what I do. Now, we're talking about sexual attention. Right? But in the difference between genuine interest, well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Over in Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery." See, that's the problem, because that goes both ways. What's happening is the man is obvious, and this is deep. I'm about to blow y'all socks off right here. This is about to be real crazy, because here's the thing. When you lust, because you know, everyone lusts, not just men. Ladies, if you're lusting after a man, men, if you're lusting after a woman, right, you have already committed adultery with your heart. See, that's a problem there. So if you're giving a woman sexual attention based on how that booty looks in them shorts, you know, ladies, if you're wearing shorts specifically designed to cause you to be lusted after, you've already committed adultery. And somebody said, "Well, okay, well, that's not a big deal because I'm not married. So you know, okay, whatever. There are far worse sins than that." Well, hold on. Au contraire, mon frère. The Bible also says over in Hebrews 13:4, see, because you're thinking is when you think of adultery, you think of just all types, you know, marriage and things like that. But it's deeper than that. You got to look. It says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. See, this is the problem here. Because when obviously in marriage, when you commit adultery, you know, that's a problem, and you will be judged. And you all know how God judges, or at least how he judged in the Old Testament, but even today, he still, you know, doesn't take that stuff lightly, you know. And so it says here, though, that the sexually immoral and, it's not a comma, it's and, meaning if you are lusting or positioning yourself to be lusted after, you're going to be judged. These two scriptures are directly related. You know, it says you've already committed adultery in your heart. And what happens to people who commit adultery? In Hebrews it says you'll be judged. And you will be, you know what I'm saying, in the same exact manner as the adulteress. If you fornicate, if you get smashed off on a Friday night, that falls into the category of being sexually immoral, which is the same exact thing in God's eyes as being adulterous. There is no difference. That's why there's an and there, meaning they hold the same weight. Did you realize it was that deep? And it's deeper than that, but I want to move on. But that's crazy, Courtney.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't even look at it like that before. So that was something that was a struggle for me, just lust. So, yeah, that's deep.
Lust is the same as adultery. It is adultery. It says if you have a lustful intent, you've already committed adultery. You understand that? Lust is adultery. Porn is adultery. Putting on them booty shorts to get, you know, stared at is adultery. You know, backing that ass, I mean, excuse me, you know what I mean? Twerking, right? That's adultery because you're positioning yourself to be lusted after. And it says here that God will judge the sexually immoral. Oh, man, this is crazy stuff right here, man. I'm going to move because we're talking about love, but we can't talk about love without talking about the opposite of love, which is lust. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people think, well, the opposite of love is hate. No, the opposite of love really isn't hate. It's like something. It's like a perversion of love, which is lust. Lust is the worst possible thing you could be doing. But yet go on to Facebook. Go on to Instagram, Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Women taking the duck faces, leaving the cleavage exposed, turning around, taking the booty shots, specifically because they want sexual attention. You know? Don't settle for lust when you really want love. Somebody remind me to post that on Facebook because that's what people need to hear. You know what I mean? For the psychos who aren't even listening to the most valuable dating and relationship advice ever given in the history of everything. You know what I'm saying? There is nothing deeper than this, what we're talking about. There's nothing more important than what we're talking about right this second from a biblical perspective. Would you disagree with that?
No. No, this is the best show.
There's nothing more important that anyone could possibly be doing right now. If you're single, if you want love, how else? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. I don't even know. Let me stop. You know what I mean? Just keep it moving because I seriously feel sorry. I don't really – it doesn't bother me when people don't listen, but it's like, you know what I'm saying? I feel sorry for people who are not hearing what the Word of God says because the – and I really – you know, it's unfortunate because a lot of pastors, you know what I'm saying, they don't talk about the sexually immoral. They don't talk about what happens when you get smashed off on a Saturday night, and then all they care about is the fact that you come to the church and give the tithes on Sunday morning. Nobody's talking about the fact that lust is adultery. That people are lusting in the pews. You know, people going around giving the tithes and offering, you know, women switching. I'm sitting there like, yo, what you switching for? What, you want somebody to look at you when you're giving your offering to God? You dropped your envelope right in front of as you're putting it in specifically so people can look at you? I've seen it all. I'm like, yo, these people are crazy out here. The ushers looking at, you know, booties as they walk by. You know, dudes turning around as the women walk by just so they can get a quick glance in church. Lusting, committing adultery straight from the pews. Ministers, deacons. You know what I'm saying? And this is, don't think that I'm talking about my church, although I am, but I'm talking about churches all over the country that I've attended. This is just life. This is just men. This is women. It doesn't matter what denomination, what church you go to. This type of lustful, sinful behavior can be found all anywhere. Make no mistake about that. So, in fact, when you get some time, if you guys are a newer listener, you know, definitely, maybe one of the, I mean, I can't even say that. I mean, how many times am I going to say that? I can't, at some point, I can't say one of the best shows, because so many of these shows are, like, contain this same type of information straight from a biblical perspective. One that comes to mind is Google how God feels about fornication. Do you, if you never listen to another show ever, listen to that show where I went through the whole Bible and found, I swear to you, almost every scripture in the Bible that pertains to fornication, and we discussed it in the realest way possible, just like we're doing right now. Definitely listen to that show. It was, you remember that? It was like a year or two ago, Courtney?
Oh, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but
yeah,
I'm sure
that might have even been, that might have been with Gerald. It may have been. I don't remember, but all I know is you Google the definition of, or no, how God feels about fornication. That show will make you never have sex ever again in your life, I promise you. You will never want to fornicate a day in your life. When you hear, because we're not going to get into it tonight, but more that show spoke more about the penalties specifically associated with fornication, you know, and how, and exactly what, because, you know, the scripture that we just read said God judges the sexually immoral. Well, you know, in that show, you got a chance to hear what that judgment looks like, you know, what the punishment looks like, and it's not pretty, or it wasn't pretty. We all know that that's not the case. Now, luckily for us, Jesus Christ died for our sins, but that does not change how God views the sexually immoral. Understand that. The punishment is different, but his feelings on homosexuality, sex, you know, fornication, corruption, all that, all those sins, you know, theft, adultery, lust, you know, it's all, it all remains. Guys, we're talking tonight, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the definition of love here tonight and all that it encompasses. And we're keeping it, you know what I'm saying? And we're going nonstop. I may seem like I'm talking fast because, only, you know, I'm looking at an outline that I have here. And I'm telling you right now, we're probably not even going to get to everything that's on the outline. And I want to get to as much stuff as possible. Because some shows, like, are more laid back, like our show, what was it, Sunday night when we were last live? You know what I'm saying? More laid back, more chill. But this is one of those shows, I can't stress enough, where there's so much information, so many scriptures to talk about, so much information about one of the most important topics, which is love, which is what we all want. That's what we're all here for. Somebody asked, well, how do you, what's the first step in finding love? Well, the first step in finding love is first admitting that you both want and need it. So many people out here are fronting, you know, just, they're just being dishonest. They are acting as if they don't want love, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Back in the day, Courtney, did you ever have a mentality of, well, I don't really need love, I'm good, I'm happily single?
Yeah, I did. And it was a defense mechanism, too. Like, when people would ask me about, you know, my love life or lack thereof, like, that would be my answer, just to try to make it seem like I didn't have a problem with being single when I knew good and well I did.
Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you guys something. There is no such thing as being happily single. That is an, that's like I'm happily on welfare. I'm happily poor. You know, I'm a happy homeless man. Which is not to say that you can't have good days in the shelter or wherever God has placed you at that point in your life. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you can't be content. I'm not saying that you have to be depressed if you're single, because you shouldn't be. However, if you are just existing, you know, in a manner that's saying, I am happily single, well, like, that's a like, for me, like, I'll give you a good example. With me, back in the day, I aspired to be a millionaire. I actually wanted to be rich. You know, I mean, a lot of people do. Most people do, in fact. I don't anymore. I am happy where I am now. My concern now is not to be rich, but it's to reach and touch and affect as many lives as possible. So obviously, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be poor. I won't be poor. But at the same time, I don't aspire to be rich. My aspiration is to have, you know, happiness, you know, and a positive effect on as many lives as possible. You see that? That's the focus. The focus when it comes to love should be being, if you're a woman, being found by the man that God has for you. And if you're a man, finding the woman that God has for you. That should be the goal. And when you achieve that, and only when you achieve that, is when you will be happy. I hope you guys catch the analogy. Think about it. If you set a goal for yourself and you haven't reached that goal, then you shouldn't be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no, at least I'm not. If I have a goal, I'm not happy until I reach that goal. I'm not going, oh, yeah, I'm halfway to the goal. I'm happy. No. I'm happy when I hit the finish line. That's how it should be. You know what I'm saying? If you're writing a book, you don't get happy after you finish half the book. You get happy when the book is completed. At least that's how I was when I finished my book. You know, if you haven't already got The Love We Had, check it out. Right there on Amazon, Kindle. Best book you'll ever read in your life. Guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? So there's that. But here's the thing. What's LeVar Burton say? But don't take my word for it, right? Let's look at what the Bible says. I'm tripping tonight, but that's how the Bible says that you should delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. One of the reasons why I've achieved every desire that my heart has ever had, you guys understand what I'm saying? There's nothing that I've ever wanted that I don't have now. The only reason for that is because I am delighting myself in the Lord. When you hear this show, you can hear we're having fun right now. This is like we talk about this all the time. This is fun for Courtney. This is fun for me. This should be fun for you. What we are all doing collectively is we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. We're talking about the Bible, but it's fun, right? So when back in the day, I delighted myself in these women. I delighted myself in alcohol. I delighted myself in the world, in the clubs, you know, strip clubs even. But now, and I didn't have the desires of my heart. In fact, my life was in shambles. But now that I delight myself in the Lord, as the Bible says, well, then you get the desires of your heart. You see how that works, Courtney?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's actually very simple. It's actually a very simple, you know, it's no gimmick. The Bible is no gimmick. It's just, you know, you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you everything that you want. If you want love, if you want a man, you know, take off the booty shorts, take the weave out your hair, put your breasts away, become emotionally available, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, same thing for the fellas. You know, because that's the thing. I mean, you know, I'm a man, so I'm not going to sit here and talk about men all day. I'm, you know, not into that fruity stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, no sexist. I'm just a man, so I'm going to talk about my experiences with women. You know what I mean? It's like people crack me up. All right, what about the men? Well, what about the men? I'm not a man. You know, I'm not going to talk about men all day. I've never dated a man. I'm not gay. Leave that to Jay-Z and Drake and all these other weirdos out here to talk about men all day. Talking about some Tom Ford. Versace, kind of crap is that? Kind of gay crap is that? making a song about a man, screaming another man's name. That's homosexual. Understand? Make no mistake about that, guys. Nothing heterosexual about any of that. So, you know, but the fellas too, man. It's a lot of men doing nothing but chasing sex all day. You know, going to the clubs. But then you have the audacity to complain. There's no women out here. How you going out every day, but you can't find a woman? You know what I'm saying? You chasing tail. You got a friend with benefits. You ain't been to church. You know what I'm saying? You don't come home until 5 in the morning Saturday night. Don't go to church. And then get on Facebook and complain about you can't find a wife. I see these statuses from men all the time. Every time I log in and somebody complaining, oh, ain't no good women, ain't no good men. Well, what'd you do on Saturday night? How was service on Sunday? What type of things do you do to delight yourself in the Lord? Well, nothing. Exactly. So then don't complain that you can't be found by a man. Or fellas, don't complain you can't find a wife. The only reason I found a wife was when I stopped delighting myself in the world. If you're talking about love, you got to go about it the right way. But so back to happily single. Because there's no men out here who are happily single. Any man I ever have met will tell you, yo, I'm looking for wifey. How come all these women are happily single, but no men are happily single? It doesn't add up. Only all that is an emotional wall up. That's a defense mechanism. That's the people, I promise you, the women talking about how happily single they are, they cry themselves to sleep at night every night. I promise you that. No woman on the face of the earth is happily single, just like no man is happily single. Everyone wants love. And if you say otherwise, you're in denial and you're most likely miserable. So let's talk about what the Bible says, though. The Bible says, oh, man, I just clicked off of it. Here it is right here. It says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and I can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so much so that I can move mountains, but I have not love, then I am nothing. This is powerful right here. If I give away all that I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I have nothing. I've gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on having its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. We're going to talk about the second part of that as far as the love is patient, love is kind, and all that good stuff. We definitely have to talk about that as far as what the actual definition of love is, you know. But we can't not talk about the first part of that, which is my favorite part. Do you guys see how powerful that was, what I just read? I'm going to read it again because it's too powerful to only read once. It totally disproves everything that people are talking about when they say they're happily single. This basically encompasses it. Everything that you could possibly have, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whether it's riches, if you can speak in tongues of men and of angels. That's like saying, listen to what this is saying. This is saying that you are so profound, so gifted, you can speak to all men and the angels. You know what I'm saying? That's how, like, on a whole nother level you are. You can speak in tongues of men and of angels. But if you have love, it says you're nothing. It says you're so much nothing, you're like a noisy gong. You ever remember that show, The Gong Show? Just gong. You know what I'm saying? It's like a horrible noise. You know, a clanging cymbal. Go to church and get one of those. Just go get a tambourine and drop a tambourine. And that sounds horrible. So imagine what a cymbal sounds like, a big old cymbal, a clanging cymbal. That's what you are. You're a clanging cymbal if you don't have love. It says here, if you have prophetic powers, meaning, Courtney, you could say I'm thinking of a number, and I know exactly what that number is. I can predict the lottery. I can predict football scores, which will bring me worldwide fame and riches. I could be able to do all that stuff. You know, I can understand every possible mystery. I can tell you exactly what 9/11 was about. I can tell you what JFK was, although we already know all that. You know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? I can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. I have more knowledge than Google. I'm like a walking encyclopedia. I still have nothing if I don't have love. It says here, as far as a lot of women, you know, I hear they, you know, I do this. I'm in this ministry, and I'm in that ministry, and I donate this, and I tithe this, and da-da-da-da-da. What it says here, you can do all that. It says, in fact, you can give away your whole bank account. It says you can give away all that I have. And not only, it says that after you give away your body, after you give away all your worldly possessions, you can give your body to be burned as a sacrifice directly to God. Forget giving 10% of your wages. This says you give your whole body, you give you, and burn yourself to give to God as a sacrifice. You're willing to do that to show your love for God, but you have not love? You still have nothing. So, which you see how this encompasses everything. So how the heck, you know, is Beyonce making a song called Single Ladies and that everyone runs to the dance floor and throws their hands up when they hear it talking about how happily single they are, when the Bible clearly says that you're like the clanging cymbal. You're a loser. You're a weirdo, you know, if you have all those things but not love. Why are people glorifying something that God is saying is the worst possible thing? What's up with that?
Right, because it's from Satan. Like, that's his plan. You know, he does everything that goes against and, you know, directly contradicts what the Bible says. So, of course, he has people like Beyonce giving, you know, singing those songs and providing those lyrics and having people eat that up. But that's not what God wants for us at all. God doesn't want us to be single forever.
He doesn't want us to be single forever, and he doesn't want us to be single. He wants us to have love. You know what I'm saying? And make no mistake about it. We're not going to get into it today. I give you all a break. But you guys, you think this is, it's so much deeper than what you think. Because when you have scriptures like this that are so detailed and so descriptive about how God feels about certain subjects, you understand? If I can figure it out, you better be certain that the powers that be in this country are very familiar with this stuff. You understand? So when you take these types of scriptures and then you make music or films or anything that is a direct contradiction to this stuff, not just saying that you are nothing, but it's saying the exact opposite. They are glorifying this stuff. They are glorifying single behavior. They're glorifying sex. They're glorifying money and fame. People, that is the exact definition of Satanism in its purest form. Most people have no idea what Satanism is. But when you hear a song like Single Ladies, that is Satanism 101 right there, because it's glorifying something that God clearly hates. Independent woman. I'm not just talking about Beyonce. That song, Money, 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 that's Satanism. You understand that? That the music industry, the entertainment industry as a whole, is all derived from satanic, you know, principles. Money is the root of all evil. Why would you glorify money? Why would you glorify sex? Why would you glorify, like Rihanna's song, I want you to be my sex slave. What's that stupid song? You know what I'm talking about.
I don't listen to her anymore, so I don't know. It's probably a new song, isn't it?
No, it's that stupid old song. I know what it is. I forget what it is. But y'all know what most people know what I'm talking about. The title just escapes me right now. But you know what I'm saying? They play it every 5 minutes on the stupid radio. You know, and it's like clearly all about sex. Those are Satan. You know, once we as Christians start making the connection between not just, oh, this is just a weird song. No, it's not weird. It's satanic, because it's the opposite of what the Bible speaks to. So just wanted to touch on that as far as what the word says about women and you know, I can't say men because I've never ever heard a man who has claimed to be happily single. But you know what I'm saying? And we got to really start going back to the Bible to discuss relationships. The only that's why I'm not really passionate. You know, I did Ash Dayton, Sex, Dating, and Relationships, Volume 1, you know, it was my second book years ago. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not really passionate about getting, like, a Steve Harvey-like, although what women I am working on my book. It's coming. I've been talking about it for a long time, How to Win the Heart of an Elite Man in 365 Days or Less. I mean, that book is coming. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's not a big deal because the ultimate relationship book is the Bible. Everything you need to know is about dating, about relationships, is right there. That's why this show is done from a biblical perspective. It's kind of weird to make money off of something that's, like, right there for everyone to see. It's just a matter of discussing it and bringing it about. So, but, it is what it is. I don't knock anybody's hustle, man. I just encourage people to recognize what it is, you know, recognize it as a hustle, and don't fall for the okey-doke 90-day bracelet type of crap is that. Man, I would love to meet Steve Harvey in one day. Courtney, I may actually come out to Chicago with you and make my way into the Steve Harvey audience one day just to ask him, like, yo, Steve, let me do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I swear on everything I would ask him, straight to his face. Steve Harvey, why are you lying to these women? I'll have Steve Harvey right on this show. You know what I'm saying? I've invited him. He's denied my request. Shirley Strawberry blocked me. Remember that a couple of years ago, that letter I wrote to Steve Harvey, I inboxed it to her. Shirley Strawberry is right there on Facebook. I inboxed her the letter. You know, she was on my friends list. I inboxed her the exact letter. I said, can you do me a favor and just forward this, pass this on to Steve Harvey? You know, you can see it when it's red. She read it, and then she deleted me, and then she blocked me. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? You know what I mean? We've got some psychos out here. That just goes to no response, no nothing, just blocked me. I'm like, wow. But you see how this stuff goes. I'll post a letter for those of you guys who haven't read it, who haven't, seen it. It was a couple of years old. But it's, you know, it's foolishness. You know, and that's one of the reasons why you go to these YouTube videos. A lot of times, most times, the comments are disabled. You know what I'm saying? People don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear stuff that directly contradicts what they're saying. The great thing about me is you'll never hear anything that contradicts what I'm saying. There will be nobody who can contradict what I'm saying because, as you see, we're speaking straight from the Bible. And the Bible, as you all should know, is truth. So, kind of, you know, it's hard to debate with truth, hard to debate with the Word of God. But let's go back a little bit because I wanted to go back to briefly friends with benefits. Because as we talk about the definition of love, right, you know, we're seeing a lot of that in today's society. It's like, well, we're friends. You know, are you single? Well, I have a friend. Well, what does that mean? Basically, that means I have someone who I have sex with who I'm hoping at some point, maybe not right now, but at some point will develop into something significant. And one of the things, ladies, you have to realize is this. As far as men go, we absolutely hate being in any form of non-committal, you know, limbo type of, you know, situation. We hate it. Somebody said, well, hold on, how does he hate it when we've been dealing with each other for 2 years? He hates it with women who he cares about. Now, if a man doesn't give a darn about you, well, then he's going to love it. It's going to be the ideal situation. But it's kind of like if me and my wife, let's say we were going through something. If I love her, and because I love her, I'm not going to say, okay, well, we're going to separate, and you see other people, and I see other people, but we still chill with each other. That would be ridiculous. Nobody does that. That's like being like, hey, why don't you let me borrow your BMW? You know, oh, yeah, sure, here, just take it and bring it back whenever. You know, I'll just let me drive my car whenever I want to, and but you can do whatever you want to with it in the meantime. No, my car is my car, you know, and that's it. It's we are very territorial. We are very possessive. Okay? And that's just us as men. If we love you, ladies, we're not going to let you be out here in this world unprotected and unspoken for. You're going to be our woman, and everyone's going to know you are our woman. If, for whatever reason, that is not the case, that man does not care about you. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Well, we're just taking a break right now. We're just, taking some time to evaluate what we're working on some things. That's a very popular one. The men say, well, let's work on this. No, there's nothing to work on. He's working on somebody else. If this was 3 years ago, this would be a totally different show, man. I have to catch myself sometimes. You know what I mean?
That was pretty funny, though. That was funny.
I'm just saying. It would have been funny if it was 3 years ago, though. But, this is believe it or not, guys, this is the sugar-coated version of me, Because I kept it a whole heck of a lot realer 2 years ago. But, but at the same time, we got everything now is from a biblical perspective. But some of the images that used to be put forth were just like, would cut y'all with a knife, but they were real. That's the good thing about it. But, yeah. So, ladies, don't allow yourself to be used for a friends with benefits situation. In fact, what does the Bible say about that? What's the Bible say about friends with benefits types of situations? Right? Well, let's see. Let's see what's going on here. It says in Galatians 5:19-21 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, whether it's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Courtney, that last line, we'll talk about the other stuff. We'll talk about the orgies. But what does it mean to not inherit the kingdom of God?
That means you're going to hell.
Right. That's what that means. Yeah. It means you're going to hell. So what are you saying? This scripture, this verse here, it says, because as you, again, we're talking right now about friends with benefits. We can get into the other stuff. But if you're talking about sexual immorality, meaning you're having sex with someone who is not your husband, I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. But even if it's not even your boyfriend, like I said, that doesn't matter. If it's not your husband, it's sexually immoral. But you're not even in a relationship. So clearly that's sexually immoral. Friends with benefits is falls into the category of sexual immorality. Friends with benefits falls into the category of impurity. Friends with benefits falls into the category of sensuality. You understand that? Friends with benefits will ultimately lead you to fall into the category of strife, of jealousy, which leads you back to the fits of anger, right? Rivalries, breaking car windows. Courtney, you know all about that. Right?
That's the first thing I thought about.
Fits of anger, psychotic behavior. What did Jasmine Sullivan sing about? Busting windows out your car. Well, you think the person who wrote that song wasn't familiar with this scripture? Of course they were. Glorifying things that God speaks directly against. The music industry is based on Satanism, guys. Everything we just described is the music industry and the whole entertainment industry. Sexual immorality, impurity. What's that movie called? The threesome with Matt Dillon. You know what I'm talking about. I can't think of none of these
movies. What's that name? I know what you're talking about. I can't.
Don't make
think
me
of
Google it like right now.
It was two guys and a girl.
Yeah.
I forgot that. I know what you're talking about, though. I forgot the name of them.
They say you're not supposed to do in radio, moments of silence and in dead air. I will have dead air for 5 minutes while I go out and Google this freaking movie right here. We'll come back to it. We'll definitely go. Wild Things.
Yeah, I just got to
Wild
it. Thing. Yeah.
I wasn't gonna do anything else. I was gonna sit here until we Wild Things. You understand? Sexual immorality. If you saw Wild Things, you know at the time. Now there's been tons worse, since then. But at the time when Wild Things came out, there had really been, I don't believe, any type of that level of threesome type of, behavior, shown in a mainstream movie like that. So it was like very groundbreaking at the time. There were two sequels after that, Wild Things 2, Wild Things 3. Other two were kind of stupid. So, but yeah, you know what I'm saying? All these things that we talk about, the definition of love, we're talking about the opposite of love: impurity, sensuality, jealousy, fits of rage, anger, rivalries. Look at Rihanna, the biggest hoe in entertainment. Rihanna has a huge rivalry right now with Chris Brown's girlfriend. What's her name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Carucci?
Carucci,
Tran.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rivalry based upon sexual immorality because they were both having sex with Chris Brown. Dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. You guys know how it goes. Who remembers that? Yeah, you got to be an old school fan to remember this. But who remembers the young woman who wrote into the show because she got drunk one night, had sex with somebody unprotected after the club, got pregnant, but then she was so drunk she couldn't remember who the guy was. She wouldn't even have recognized him if she saw him, and she thought she recognized the guy who was the father of her child, and she approached him, and he was like, "What are you talking about? I've never seen you a day in my life." He denied the whole thing. That was a crazy show. That was like 3 years ago.
I remember that.
Who does that? Who gets so drunk and has unprotected sex to the point where they get pregnant and they don't even know who the father is? Like, that's – see, the problem with it is people look at these talk shows like Maury Povich, Jerry Springer. They say, "Oh, no, that's fake." Ain't nothing fake about that stuff. 8 daddies tested. That's my life. That's what I counsel every single day. I don't glorify. I don't make a mockery of it. It's nothing entertaining about it. It's unfortunate. We got to help these people. We got to help people see that this is in Galatians 5:19 is the things that will send you straight to hell. It says that the people who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The orgies. Remember the quote-unquote Delaware chick? You remember the Delaware chick who used to call in all the time?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
This was a young woman who used to cuss me live on the air. If you guys were around a couple years, she used to call in, cuss me and Gerald out. "You don't know what you're talking about. You can't judge me. So what?" This is someone who allowed men to videotape her. This is men who allowed to run trains on her. And at the end, she used to really go. She used to cuss out Morgan, who used to be the co-host of the show. Other women who would call in trying to help this young woman out because she was justifying her behavior. And then one day, one of the greatest moments of my life is when she called in and apologized to Morgan and to Gerald and to me, and it told us that, and in tears, that we had changed her life, and she now sees how her behavior was horrible. And this was all live on the air. These are all archived shows. This is our history. You guys are newer. This is where we come from. We've taken a different perspective, but this is what everyone is able to hear live. The most entertaining radio in the history of radio. Nothing was more important than the stories I'm telling you guys right now. You know what I'm saying? She called in and apologized and said, "Wow, you know what? Yes, I allow these men to disrespect me, but I will never allow anyone to disrespect me now because I am now a child of God." You guys, there's never been a more dramatic and drastic transformation to go from justifying getting a train ran on you to speaking about how God has changed your life live on the air. It was nothing short of amazing. You understand that? But orgies, it says, and things like these. This is, the Bible's amazing. Because it doesn't, it says, all this stuff and things like that. No, you may not have let men run a train on you, right? But you let somebody videotape you. You made a sex tape. You gave head in the parking lot after the club, right? You let somebody smash in the back seat after the club. You had sex with somebody the first night that you met them. And I'm not judging, fellas. You know, you too, fellas, because even myself, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. I'd be on my way to hell because I've done all the above. Everything I just named, I've personally done. You understand? The only difference is I was able to change and I was able to be forgiven just like you can. So it's not, I'm not judging anybody or talking down to people. I'm speaking of things, those are all things that I did personally. You understand? But it's, you know what I'm saying? These are all things that will send you to hell. And things like these. It says, I warn you, as I warned you before, time and time again, that those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's deep stuff, right, Courtney?
It is. I was just talking about that on Facebook, how everything, literally everything, can be found in the Bible. Like, everything.
Right.
I love it.
I try to tell people, too. I try to tell people, like, yo, you know the Bible talks about orgies, right? You know the Bible talks about getting trains ran on you. You know, all that freaky stuff, you know, booty shots, all that stuff. I mean, you know that this is not cool. This is stuff that will send you down. Oh, who are you to judge? No, I'm just telling you what the Word says. That's not judging. That's just speaking fact. But, you know, some people don't want to hear that. You know, we should just end this show now. Just, guys, go back to watching Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop. This is too deep. You know what I mean? Some people, you know, but that's, like, imagine if everybody did that. We're talking about the most deep stuff that you could possibly talk about. But there are people out there in the world who would like to be on Twitter or be on Facebook talking about these stupid reality shows, talking about what they had for dinner. You know, I mean, some of these status updates are just ridiculous. I'll even be on the show, on the live air, scrolling through my newsfeed sometimes, seeing people as we're live on air, and them just talking crazy. Like, as if this is not what everyone should be doing right now. And so, pray for those people. You know what I mean? But
I used to do that.
Yeah. It's deep. A lot of people did. But at the same time, a lot of people act like they're doing that, but are really listening to the show, which is cool.
That's true.
You know, this show is heard by a lot more people than it appears. It may appear as people are listening to. You know, don't make no mistake, we're heard by well over 20,000 people every single day. Those are all facts. Well over that. Every night. You understand that? And this is, and I'm not into ratings, I'm not into numbers. I mean, I feel like, you know, whoever listens, that's why, you know, I mean, they listen. We're over 3 million downloads just on iTunes, you know, over the past 6 years. But, you know what I'm saying, be that as it may, it's all about praying for people who are not listening and who need this information. You understand that, guys? So, I don't even talk about it because it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be on NBC or CBS or BET. I don't want any of that crap. I want to be right where I am doing exactly what I'm doing. That's the key. I used to want more, and you could tell. But now this is about changing lives from a biblical perspective. That's it. That's all. I'm a simple man. You know what I mean? I just want to be left alone. I want to do what I do, you know what I mean, and go home to my family and watch Prison Break and watch Homeland. There's a new show out, Hostages. That's on my DVR. Check that out. You heard about that?
No, I'm laughing because you always put us on those shows. I didn't even watch TV like that. Until you started bringing up those shows.
Well, there you go, Corey. I told you, I'm not going to steer you wrong. And what are you doing, Cabo? Look at Cabo. He's sitting up next to my dog. He's sitting, gets up shaking. Just, you know, what the heck you doing, man? Guy's crazy looking around. I'm going to upload a picture of him. He'd be asleep the whole show. Next thing you know, he just gets up, looking around, walking around, and about to go right back to sleep. Weirdo. My dog is a psycho. I'm going to upload a picture of him later. So what else, though? So there's that. The works of the flesh are evident. I love that. Matter of fact, let me post this on Facebook for y'all. Post this so as people get ready to get smashed off tonight, they'll be able to see what happens. Let's talk about soul ties. See, because another problem is that, you know, in today's society, when you think about love, there are a lot of people who are confusing love with what is a soul tie. And the fact, as I've said, you know, well, why are you still dealing with this man? You know, you say you've been dealing with him for 5 years, for 4 years. Well, what kept you this? Well, it's because I love them. Nah, you can't love someone who's cheating on you every day. You can't leave him alone because you have a soul tie with this man. That's a soul tie is when you are, you know, two souls become one and they're bonded by sex. That's a soul tie. And you know, like I said, you can listen to our special that me, Courtney, Reverend Ann, we did a 2-hour special on soul ties about a year ago, where we talked about what the Bible says about soul ties, how to break soul ties, how to identify soul ties. So, I mean, these shows are all, I need an assistant, okay? I'm putting it out there. Not paying any money, you know what I mean? But I need an assistant, you know, to do some of these things. Like, when I say these things, they should be posted. You know what I'm saying? Like, not someone who's just a good Samaritan and posts this stuff, but, you know, I'm going to have to look into that at some point, you know. But, yeah, so that's, you know, don't confuse a soul tie with love. Don't confuse good sex with love. Don't confuse good sex with a man being genuinely interested. Just because a man has good sex and his toes curl up and he tells you you're the best and that he even loves you right there in the sex, you know, that doesn't mean that you love. I had one chick, you know, I was we were having sex, and she just busts out like, "I love you." I'm like, "Whoa, the heck?" It was just she was like, "No, I'm sorry," and she apologized for saying that because it was clearly that, you know, it was not appropriate. It was just like in the moment, and so, you know, yeah, good sex will make you do some crazy things. Courtney, you know about that. I mean, don't act like I'm the only one. You ever bust out, "I love you"?
Yeah.
Intimate moment. What? You have?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I have. Wait a minute. Time out. How are you gonna ask me a question and then I answer, and then you try to make me out to be some type of psycho?
My bad.
yeah. I definitely have said that before. And then I've heard that, you know, returned. I've heard that, "Well, I love you too," but that didn't mean anything either. But I was like, "Oh my gosh, he said he loved me too." And then that just really, you know, kept me around even longer.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, it's definitely unfortunate because love or the illusion of love, you know, like I said, everyone wants it. Funny that people act like they're so happy, but when they think they have it, oh man, they go crazy. You know, those status, those Facebook profiles are hidden. You know, the moment that they get in a relationship, that's when the profile picture changes to them and, you know, the dude, their status goes to in a relationship with. They get a million people commenting, "Oh, congratulations, oh wow, yeah, I wish you guys the best." 2 weeks later, it's back to being hidden. What the heck? Don't hide it now. Don't hide it because I can't say broke up because you were never together. You know, it was never anything to begin with. So just do what you want to do. You know, if you want love, then get love. If you want marriage, position yourself to be married. Stop settling for less than you want or deserve, guys. All right. So much fun. Wish we could be live every night. You know what I mean? But that would be me neglecting my family. You know what I'm saying? But my wife allows me to, you know, to be with you guys for a couple, because that's a lot. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot. You know what I mean? From 9 to, you know, midnight, you know, even a couple times a week. That's definitely a lot. So I appreciate my wife for allowing me to do this. See, that's what a lot of people think. They think that that sounds unmanly. What do you mean, Dadon? I thought you were in control. Listen, a happy wife is a happy life. That's the key, fellas. And that's okay. What do you think about that, Courtney? You look forward to being a happy wife?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. I do. I look forward to that in the future. But speaking of wives, I do have a question. When is Danny coming back to the show?
Oh, never. After that last appearance, she was banned. No, I'm playing. No, I'm just messing around.
No, I liked her. She did an excellent job, and I know a lot of people enjoyed her on the show. So I was just wondering, it would be a treat for her to, you know, come back again sometime.
I'll get her to come on right now. That ain't about nothing. I send her a little Facebook instant message saying, call into the show. You know what I mean? Who wants
cool.
to see that?
Everybody.
Look, guys, if you missed her appearance on the show from a couple weeks ago when we did our special on obesity in the black community, I think she's only been on the show twice. So the first time was when we did our Greek Life special, probably 3 years ago, because she's a Delta, and she was on to share her perspective from a pledging perspective, and so she was there, was on for maybe like 20, 30 minutes, and then other than I can remember, I think the obesity show was only the second time in 6 years that she's ever been on the show. So definitely check that out. She kept it real. She, you know, really went into detail about, you know, what's going on as far as her personal journey to towards achieving fitness. Definitely check out the archives of that if you missed it. And I say that to say if you're a psycho and you missed it, because as you see tonight, no show should be missed. You may not listen live, but if you're not an avid listener of this show, and this is no disrespect, but I'm just saying, I mean, you're probably experiencing some not-so-good behavior. The great success stories that I've had from women who are now married and engaged and just really living their life on fire for Christ, they're all avid listeners of this show. Be surprised how many women I actually counsel who don't even listen to the show on a regular basis. I'm like, yeah, did you hear last night's show? They're like, oh, no. I'm like, what the heck? Well, you got to listen. This is where the show is a great supplement to private counseling sessions, just like the counseling sessions are a great supplement to the show. If you want love, I would recommend with the strongest sense of urgency doing both. That is how you find love. Am I saying you can't find love without me? Who am I? I'm just one person. But I will tell you that would be an excellent place to start. What else can we talk about tonight as far as love goes? We're making good time. It's only 10:30. You know, you tired? You ready to go to sleep, Courtney?
No. Let's keep going. All right.
Good. So that's what the Bible says about the works of the flesh, friends with benefits. I'm telling you, man, ladies, I cannot stress enough. Do not allow friends with benefits to be confused with a man committing to you. If a man says, I want to be your friend or we can be friends, he does not give a damn about you. I just want to drive that point home. He does not care. In fact, he's disrespecting you and views you actually in the worst possible way a man can view a woman if he claims to want to be your friend. But, you know, some type of sexual relationship with you. That's the worst way a man can view a woman. But as far as soul ties go, let's just see what the word says about these men out here. You know, it says here in Proverbs 6:24, and I posted this earlier, this didn't get a lot of thumbs up. People didn't seem to be wanting to hear this, but it doesn't matter. See, just so you guys know, I don't post stuff to get thumbs up. And I don't want anybody to be confused. If I post something and it gets no thumbs up, you know, sometimes some people feel awkward. I don't feel awkward. I feel happy because that means I don't post anything that isn't important. And certainly if I post a scripture that gets no thumbs up, that means that it cuts some people to the core. You know, so don't let, and you too, guys, don't be afraid to post things that you feel won't get thumbs up. That doesn't matter. Only thumb up, the only approval you need is God's approval. That's all I care about. Care about who's Facebook? Who are people on? Who cares what people think? Post what you want to post. Post what's necessary. You ever have a problem with that, like wondering how many people would give you thumbs up?
I used to. I used to frequently, you know, visit my posts to see how many people liked it. And, I mean, that was just because of a need for affirmation. Now it's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, if it gets no thumbs up or if people, you know, respond by just, like, going off, then I know that I did something right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the key. That's how you know you're doing something right. But here's one of the things that the Word says. It says in Proverbs 6:24 through 29 says, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? It's impossible. I've realized something. You know, I say, in my opinion, and I have a pretty high level of self-esteem, but in my opinion, I say some pretty deep things. You know what I mean? Some pretty insightful things. If I came up, like, some relationship advice, you know, that I come up with, I feel like it's pretty deep and pretty meaningful. But, in fact, the most meaningful that I've ever read in my life, to be honest with you. But when you look at the Word of God, like, this scripture right here is deeper than anything I could ever come up with and that anything that anyone humanly possible could come up with. I mean, this is as deep as it gets right here. This is amazing right here. That's how you can tell it was inspired by God. It was written by God himself, because this is, I couldn't come up with something like this. It says, to preserve you from the evil woman, the smooth tongue of an adulteress, a hoe, a whore. You know what I mean? Because that's really what it is. They look good. They smell nice. They talk good. The smooth tongue, that flirtatious vibe, that sexual vibe. It says, fellas, do not desire her beauty in your heart. You see, that's what happens. A lot of these men out here, they lust for the smooth touch of a woman, the soft scent, the smooth, silky, you know, hair. And they desire that touch, that sex, you know. It says, do not allow her and all that stuff that comes along with her to capture you with her eyelashes. You know, she bats her eyelashes, gives you that sexy look. I know all about that look, that look that lets you know it's okay for you to approach me, that look that says, yeah, if things go right, I'll let you smash. A lot of men desire that in their hearts. It says the only problem with that is, fellas, and this is advice for the men specifically, straight from the Word of God. It says the problem with that is the price of a prostitute. And let's just really break, because we're talking about love tonight. But the price, and the Bible says prostitute, but really the price of a whore, the price of a slut, the price of a hoe, the price of someone who takes ass shots on Facebook, the price of these women who show off their breasts hoping to get sexual attention, the price of those types of Instagram freaks and Twitter hoes is only a loaf of bread. Courtney, how much is a loaf of bread?
I don't know, like $3-4.
Price of bread is $2. Mm-hmm. I just went shopping this morning. Bread is cheap. I get the cheap bread. I ain't spending $4.
Okay, I'll
stop
with this. Yeah, because the kind I got is a little high.
You got that good stuff. You eat good.
Yeah, I got
there.
The good bread. I forgot. I'm sorry.
I'm cheap. I get the
Stroman. You got the Wonder Bread.
Yeah, I get Wonder Bread. No, I get Stroman two for $2. Man, I'm down at the Chinese store getting bread, man. I'm a cheap bastard. You know what I mean? My bread is cheap, you know. It says the price of a hoe is only that of a loaf of bread. ladies, don't. This is not me talking. This is God talking right now. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. If you're on Facebook showing off your booty, if you're taking the duck face, that means that you're only worth a loaf of bread. That's crazy. What does that say about the vast majority of women out here showing off their body parts, Courtney?
That they're not worth much. They're not.
Yo, that's amazing. Yo, God, man, yo, he be pissing people. Y'all think I piss people off? This post got, go to my page. Who's on my, go to my page and look how many thumbs up this post got when I posted it this morning. I don't think anyone gave this, I mean, maybe like one or two people out of the thousands and thousands of people that see my post every single day. Like two people gave it the thumbs up. Why? Because the vast majority of those women are what the Bible would be considered to being only worth a loaf of bread. I bet you some people will change those pictures up now. You know, after listening tonight, I bet they take those duck faces down now. You know, but the good news here, the redeeming quality here about this scripture is, it says, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Now, this is amazing right here because she hunts down. She is passionate. If you hunt something down, it means you're passionate about getting what it is that you want. It's a precious life. Well, then you got to look at what's a precious life. A precious life is marriage. A precious life is love. It's not being single because the Bible just established what the smooth song of the adulteress is. The behavior of a hoe is when they rush to the floor to get me bodied to single ladies, independent woman. That's nothing but the evil woman right there. Those are the women that the Bible says to stay far away from. It says, fellas, don't desire the hoes. Don't be caught up with the fat booty, you know, of the adulteress. Don't let her capture you with that cleavage. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but you guys all heard it, you know, heard it for what it actually is. I'm not saying anything that the Bible doesn't say. It's all very much so applicable. It says, because those women, the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread. But a married woman is destined to have a precious life. That's what's guaranteed to her, you know, when she does it the right way. And so basically, to the fellas, you can't have a fire on your chest and your clothes not be burned. That means you can't lay down with a hoe and expect to still be found by the man the woman that God has for you. Or you can't expect to find that woman if you're laying with hoes. It says right here, how can you have a fire on your chest but you can't be burned? How can you walk on coals but your feet not be scorched? How can you lay with hoes but still have a wife? You know, I mean, I don't make this stuff up. This is what Proverbs 6:24-29 says. What are your thoughts on this? Now, what about the men, Dadon? What about the men? Well, this is what about the men. This is what the Bible says to the fellas. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. I mean, what I think about it, it's no shortcuts on both sides, so from men or from women. So, you know, men, you know, you can't be, you know, messing around with these, you know, hoish women like all day and expecting to, you know, be blessed with a wife. Women, like we can't put ourselves out there and carry ourselves as, you know, being promiscuous and wanting love, but, you know, not wanting to do what's necessary to get it. Like we cannot take a shortcut. There is no shortcut to love. You have to do things the right way.
Oh yeah, write that down. Post that on Facebook. That's your post right there. There is no shortcut to love. You cannot do things the right way. That's a classic post right there, waiting to be put up. You know what I'm saying? Excellent advice. Best advice humanly possible to give. You know. A lot of people, they're seeking sugar-coated, watered-down advice where, you know, I mean, you guys know by now. I mean, we don't need to keep saying it. I mean, you guys know what it is. You know, this is real relationship advice, and it doesn't get realer than the Bible. Our new logo, our new slogan, our motto is real relationship, real radio that matters. Very simple. Because this matters. This is important. You know, this is life-changing stuff right here. There's no need to lie about it or act like it's not. This show every night, will, if listened to, will change your life. Private counseling with myself, private counseling with Courtney, will change your life. Do you want to be single or do you want your life changed? Men, you know what I mean? Men and women. It's the choice is yours. Time for fun and games is over. I mean, how much older do you want to get? I mean, because that's where I've been on the air for 6 years. If you started listening when you were 25, you're now 31. I mean, at what point do you want to stop? If you're listening now, you know, and you listen to, I mean, like, how much more time do you want to waste? Time is ticking. Get love today. That's why I put it on the flyers. Don't wait until tomorrow. Find love today. Start the process today. Website is trctoday.com. That's the reason. Talbert Relationship Counseling today. Courtney, life changing right here. Aren't you excited?
Yes, I am. I am.
You know I'm excited. I met Courtney
just
posted that. Hold up. Why did Courtney post that while I was typing though? Why did she just put up there on no, there's no Dang, she put those every. She put that in the dating and relationship matters form. She put in the friends of date. I was like, yo, Courtney is a multitasker. That's what's up.
I learned from the best. But you didn't have to put me out there like that.
That's good. That's what I wanted you to do. That's what's up. I'm so proud of you, Courtney. You've come a long way over the last 2 years.
Thanks.
Excellent, man. But yeah, so let's talk about what is love. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're all here for tonight, isn't it? We're here to talk about and really get a working definition of love. What is it? And I'm going to play that Beyonce song for y'all, too. It's funny. It's very interesting. You know, I've thought about so many songs that I could choose, but I always come right back to this Beyonce song that I really love, ironically, that really epitomizes what love is all about, which really goes to show you, you know, there's something going on. You know, when you have, you know, a certain level of talent and you have the power and the ability, you know, to make music that is life-changing, you know, but you use that talent and that ability to make music that is life-destroying, there's something there. That's, you know, there's definitely a spiritual tug-of-war going on with artists like Beyonce and even, you know, and many others. But she's one of the main ones that comes to mind just because of the level of talent and the level of influence. When you had, like me, you know, my life was in shambles at one point because I had and have the talent and the ability to change lives for good. You know, I do, and I have. But at the same time, for the vast majority of my life, I was using those same talents for bad. You know, I was, instead of convincing women to change their lives from a biblical perspective, I was convincing them to give up the sex. You know, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And so that was I've done so many things. You know, I've done, I mean, the stories that I can tell you, Courtney, you know, we've talked about the whole sleepers. You guys know about that game, that classic Keeping It Real Fridays, where we broke down the number one technique that men have been using over the last 10 to 15 years specifically to get sex for women in college. We revealed the secrets of it, you know, the whole sleepers game. We now everybody's Googling, okay, note to self, look up sleep, you know, that show, try to find that show. You know, I could point to women. There were times back in the day I would be with a homie, be like, yo, I'm good, but go ahead and give my man right here some sex. Did you believe that they would do it, Courtney?
Yeah, I know they did.
That's what I had the power to do, you know. And it's not, you know, it's not uncommon. I mean, a lot of guys, whether you're a football player, frat guy, celebrity, I mean, you know, a lot of guys have that. But I think it's just that you don't see that. You don't hear those stories. But that's how real it is out here. There's some women with a certain level of low self-esteem to the point where they will do whatever these men say just for the illusion of love or the illusion of acceptance. It's deep out here. I went to there when I was in college. These guys, this frat, I won't put the frat's name out there, but most people know what the frat is. They would have these parties, and at the end of the parties, they would strip. You know what I'm saying? They would just strip, and, like, the party at a certain point would just be over. It would be, like, guys, you know, and then the guys who – the close friends of the frat and then certain hoes would stick around, and it would be, like, one big orgy until, like, 7 in the morning. You know, and this is common practice. Like, it was just a known fact. And so many women would stay at those parties after the regular house party ended, and it would be – you know, and the guys would strip. The frat would strip. So – Can you believe that? I mean, it's not hard to believe, but that's crazy, right?
It was like that at my school, too. So I know a lot about that. I wasn't at the parties because they had like a, it was like an invite-only type of thing.
Yeah, that's how it was.
But
invite-only.
Yeah.
But see, the funny thing is, that did happen with that particular frat, but I personally did those types of things. You know, me and my homie, we used to have parties at our apartment. My homie, my frat brother, yeah, and everybody knows this is, you know, public knowledge, especially if you know me from college, DNA Productions. We had the best parties on the whole campus. There would be a regular student union party that would be over at, say, 2 o'clock in the field house or, you know, the gym or whatever. After 2 o'clock, everybody would walk a couple blocks up to our apartment. We would, you know, put the furniture in the bedrooms, and the living room and the dining room would just be the party. We would charge, like, $2-3 to get in. We'd have the blue juice up in there, you know what I'm saying? And party, you know, the mix CD playing, like, you know, nothing major. But who needs a real DJ when you just come in at 4 o'clock in the morning, get your grind on, get your freak on until 7 in the morning. You know, so I'm just telling you guys, you know, anything that I talk about, like I tell you, I know personally. I used to be a bastard back in the day, a sinful bastard. By the grace of God, my life has been changed, but I still have the knowledge and the information to tell you, hey, this is the type of behavior that will prevent you from having love. This is the things that you should be doing if you want love. You know, you got to leave all that, you got to leave that lifestyle alone. You can't have both. You're either going to be a woman of God, or you're going to get smashed off on a Friday night. There's no in between. So, this was. But yeah, so let's talk more about what. Okay, so what is love though? Well, the Bible says straight up, no time for games here. It says, love bears all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But love is eternal, guys. Think about that scripture. Love bears all things, loves, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Most importantly, love never ends. What does that say about so many people who claim they've been in love?
They're not, especially, you know, the ones that are breaking up and making up. That is not love at all.
I'm going to go ahead and put this up there on Facebook again. You know, this is, there's no such thing as love. There's no such thing as speaking of love in the past tense. You guys understand that? If you were in love, then you're still in love. If you thought you were in love, then you weren't in love. Did you used to think that you were in love?
Yes, I did. And I would envision walking down the aisle to marry that person. I was a psycho. But, yeah.
I mean, not so much a psycho, but, you know, it's just you were normal. You wanted love. Just like everyone else wants love, just like everyone fantasizes. I used to dream. The funny thing is, it's amazing. This is how much of a blessing it is. I used to fantasize and dream about standing at the altar and waiting on my wife to walk down the aisle to meet me at the altar. And that dream came true. It was like weird. I never really was able to see the face. I was never able to kind of, you know, to know what it would be like. But when I was there, you know, when it happened, when the dream came true, that's exactly what it was. That, you know, it looked, I can't even articulate it really, but that's what it, you know what I mean? It was a dream come true. It was something I had dreamed of my whole life. I never knew what my wife would look like. I never knew what the place would look like, what the preacher would look like. But when I was there, I was like, wow, everything became clear. It was the dream come true. The Bible clearly says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. He will give you the answer to your prayers. He will give you the dream. That's why I put in the post, ladies, have you ever dreamed of being found by the man that God has for you? Yeah, when I talk about that elite man, that will be the dream come true. You know, but there's certain things that have to be done. Okay, prior to that, love bears often. Let's get a little deeper into it, though. Love endures all things. Now, does that mean that you should put up with your man cheating? Does that mean you should endure abuse and hurt and pain and heart? No, it doesn't mean that, because when you're truly in love, remember, if you're not being treated in a godly manner, well, then it's not love to begin with. So clearly, you shouldn't be enduring anything. You've got to look at what, you know, the first part of that, which is love is patient, love is kind, you know, like all that stuff. That's when you have all of those things in place, then, yeah, that's when you endure. I have to endure things. My wife endures things, you know, because no one is perfect. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that she endures. But at the same time, it's still great. It's still the dream come true. Does that make sense, Courtney?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. It does.
So, man, we gotta start being honest. You know, a friend of mine, his mom said, great quote, you know, one of the most insightful things that I've ever heard. She says, no relationship is perfect. There's just two people trying to make it that way. You know, very deep, very deep quote. And she just said that just off the top of her head one day. It always stuck, you know, stuck with me. But here it is right here. It says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Now, this is interesting because we talk a lot here about attitudes. You know, Bible says, and I'm going to paraphrase, it's better to live out in the desert than with a nagging wife. Well, it says right here, yeah, love is not irritable. You're not going to resent. We talked the other night about resentment. You're not going to have resentment towards your mate or bitterness or hurt or pain, you know, or irritability or any of that stuff, because that, you know, that won't be love. That's like some other crazy stuff. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. And this goes both ways. Fellas, you can't be mean to your woman. You don't want to be controlling. You know, ladies, you don't want to be, you know, a bridezilla. You look at some of these shows. I mean, again, not to belabor the issue, but, you know what the entertainment industry is based on. You know, when you take something as sacred as marriage, you know, and something that is as sacred as love itself, God is love, and then you make a show making a mockery of love, you make a show making a mockery of marriage and the wedding process, and you look at, well, what is love? Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on having its own way, it's not irritable or resentful. What show is the opposite of all of those things?
Bridezillas.
Bridezillas. Some satanic bastard sat down one night as he was praying to Satan and said, how can we take this scripture and make a show that is the exact opposite of what the Bible calls love? We're going to make a show that's opposite. We'll have someone who insists on having their way. We'll have someone who's a bee, someone who is arrogant, you know, and certainly rude, you know, irritable all the time, resentful, not patient, not kind. But then at the end, we'll have them get married. you guys got to put the pieces together. That's satanic right there. That's a satanic show. The producers, you know what I mean? Like, the whole, it would not be on TV. In fact, just about anything that's on TV today can be found to be the opposite of the principles expressed in the Bible. Any song that you hear on the radio is going to be the opposite of the principles expressed in the Bible. So, but these are the things that love is. Anything outside of that is not love and is not of God. A lot of women that I reach out to and work with through private counseling, they're saying, well, you know, I'm reaching out because I'm confused. You know, they say, well, what should I do? Well, I say the fact that you're asking what should you do tells you what you should do. Because you guys know that God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of doubt or uncertainty. So if you're confused about the direction that your life is going or your relationship is going, well, then that tells you that it's not of God and that you should just walk away. If the guy that you're dealing with is not patient, he's not kind, he envies and he boasts, he's arrogant and he's rude, he insists on having his way or the highway, he's irritable and you resent him, well, then why are you having sex with him? Why are you having babies with him? Why are you still dealing with him? Why are we even talking about him? We got to walk away. And if you need help with the walking away and detachment process, then I can help you with that. But I'm not in the business of convincing people to leave. Once you're ready to leave, once you're ready for the change, then, yeah, we can, you know, I can help you, you know, definitely help you. But sometimes people who, you know about this, Courtney, you've gotten people who you've done private counseling with who are not ready to leave.
Right. And it's like they know that deep down, you know, they know they need to, you know, they've heard it from God that they need to, but it's, you know, that soul tie or whatever, any, you know, that could be any other things that are keeping them there, it is really, you know, affecting them to the point where they are just reluctant and just can't envision their lives without that man. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very unfortunate, actually. You know, when you want to leave, when you know something is not right, but you still can't walk away. Let's talk about what else does the Bible say? Well, it says here about, you guys know about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. That's let me just tell you what that is. That's paradise right there. You guys know that, right? Like, that's everything, it's, you know, that's as good as it gets. How'd you like to have the fruits of the Spirit?
Yeah. That, I mean, that's the best. That's the best state, you know, to be in. Yeah.
Right. That's paradise right there. Yeah. That's what Adam and Eve had before they messed everybody up. You know, Adam and Eve were psychos. They just messed everything up for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Did you just call them psychos?
They were psychos. I mean, it is what it is. When you look at the exact definition of what a psycho is, it's when you know something is a certain way and then you intentionally go ahead and do the opposite just to kind of, you know, mess stuff up. I mean, that's psychotic. That's, you know, we actually did a show on that. If you guys Google, there's a show for everything, guys. You know that, right? If you Google the definition of a psycho, I'm pretty sure it's under that title, where we did a whole show from a actual clinical and dictionary definition of the term psycho, you know, and where, you know, meaning psychotic and, the, you know, what that means. What types of I'm going to do it today, but you can even look up psychotic in the dictionary and what all that encompasses, and you'll find that many people in today's society are actual, you know, psychos. So, you know, I didn't just make that word up. It's very applicable. But, yeah, definitely love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ladies, bottom line, if a man isn't treating you like that, you know, it's not the man that God has for you. I mean, do we even need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, this should be common sense. This should all, this should be something that is not even a question. This should not be a debate. If what you are dealing with is anything outside of what we're talking about right now, it's a waste of time. So there's that. What else can we talk about? That's the fruits of the Spirit. I just posted that on Facebook so you guys can have it for a reference if you want to look it up at a later point. Let's talk more about what the Bible says. Now, like I said, I want to play this song and talk about the lyrics to really just talk about what love looks like from a everyday relationship standpoint, you know, because that's important as well. But the Bible is crazy right here. It says over here in Romans 13:8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law," meaning the law of God. Guys, as you see here, it says all the commandments are summed up with this one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the ultimate fulfillment of God's word. Yet you still have people who have the audacity to say that they're okay without love. Is that not ridiculous?
Yeah, that is. That is.
It's the ultimate fulfillment of God's law. How can you be, you know, abiding to God's word and God's law, but not have love and not be seeking love? We talked about the definition of a virtuous woman a couple months ago. I rebroadcasted it a couple weeks ago. Google our special in Proverbs 31, the definition of a virtuous woman. Well, a virtuous woman is a wife. There's no such thing as a virtuous woman who's not a wife. Proverbs 31, in case you guys missed it, is about a wife. It's not about a single woman. It's about a wife. Read it. You understand that, guys? Everything should be with the intent on becoming love, having love and becoming a wife. Again, all these cultures around the world, they all hold love and family, you know, in the utmost, you know, view. You can't be viewed as a, you know, a upstanding member of society if you're single. The best women are the family women, the wives. They're the anchor of the household. They hold everything together. That's in other cultures around the world. American culture, the black culture, is the only culture who glorifies single behavior and the single lifestyle. You know, that's strictly the black community thing. You don't even hear white women talking about how much they love being single. Asian women, Hispanics, you will never hear any other women other than black women, African-American women, really American women here. Because Africans, you know, they never hear nothing. You'll never hear anything like that come out of their mouths. Even when I went to the Dominican Republic, these beautiful women over there were all talking. They were like, yeah, people over here, they hate Beyonce. They're like, why would anybody glorify being single? Don't you know how much these other women in various parts of the world would love and are in love with the idea of being in love? People sound so stupid following these ridiculous lyrics that have been saturated throughout American media. That's why the world hates us, because we're idiots as a people, like as a culture. I mean, this whole way of thinking, that the things that we uplift and put on pedestals are things that the rest of the world looks at as being ridiculous. And it's actually very sad. People laugh at us around the world. You know, ladies, don't stop following these fake role models, these fake idols, because love, as you see here in the Bible, fulfills the law. That's amazing, Courtney. Isn't the word of God just great?
It is. It is so good. It is so good.
Let's keep it moving, though. Because I want to get through some of this stuff. Another thing that the Bible says over in 1 John 4:16, I like how I got these scriptures, don't y'all? You see, this is how it is, man. You know, this is fun, though. I did all this in like 10 minutes.
Wow.
10 minutes, that's it. I do these scriptures because it's so entertaining. It's so interesting. Like, I just knock them out. It's not hard, too. It's not, you know, there's a lot of great websites where all you have to do is really Google what does the Bible say about love. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have to have a Bible. I mean, it's great to read your Bible, but I'm just saying, you can, if there's anything you want to know, matter of fact, I'll put this site out there a little bit later when I find it. It's just like, what does the Bible say about sex? What does the Bible say about adultery? What does the Bible say about whatever you want to put in there? It will bring you dozens of scriptures pertaining to whatever scripture, whatever information you want from a biblical perspective. And that's where a lot of these shows come from. You know, tons. That's why I love it. But yeah, man. So I guess my point is, there's no excuse for not knowing what the Word of God says about anything. In fact, I think it's like Open Bible, openbible.com or something like that. Look it up. You know what I mean? I'll post a link later on. You know what I'm saying? After I get done watching Prison Break tonight, then after I go to sleep. That's how my night's in. Because Danny's asleep. I instant message her. She's knocked out. She's not even responding. She's asleep. You know, so you guys will hear from her another time. But, yeah, got it. She gets up. She told you guys a couple weeks ago on the show, she gets up sometimes, a couple times a week, and runs like 4 o'clock in the morning, something crazy. So she's knocked out, in case you guys were wondering. That's all right. I'll wake her up later. Sorry, that was inappropriate. That's inappropriate. I apologize. Hey, it is what it is. Hey, I'm married. It's okay. You know what I mean? Nothing. No fornication over here. Let me tell y'all something. I'll tell y'all something else that wasn't planned. See, there's no sex better than no conviction sex. You know what I'm saying? Non-fornicating sex. You know, you see, that's the no guilt sex. See, a lot of, there's no such thing as good sex. That's actually an oxymoron. So many people use that term, say good sex. How can you, don't make me pull the scripture back out from earlier where it said the sexually immoral and the people who are lusting will not inherit the kingdom of God, which means they'll go to hell. The sexually immoral will be judged. If you want to spend life in hell and you want to be judged by God, go right ahead. But please don't be crazy and call it good, because there's nothing good about being judged by God. If you don't know what judgment by God means, check out the Old Testament and you tell me if there's a such thing as good fornication. That's an oxymoron if there ever was one. All right, guys? So don't get caught up in that. But yeah, so anyway, what else does the Word of God say here? But seriously, all jokes aside, there's nothing better than sex with your wife or sex with your husband. In fact, it's not even sex. It's making love, which is the whole essence of marriage, is to, you know, be married and, you know, procreate, you know, kids. You know, it's just a good thing. I took my wife and my daughter to the park today, nice fall night, a little chilly outside. Had Aubrey sliding down the slide. You know what I'm saying? It's just, see, that's the life that you guys should all, men and women, should aspire to have. I've had sex. You know, I've done the orgies and the sexually immoral behavior that the Bible speaks of. I've did all that. But there's nothing better than just a night out with the family, movie night. I'll go upstairs thinking I'm going to go to bed and crash. My daughter will be right in my side of the bed, which is the best feeling in the world, though. See, a lot of people, you know, sleeping, you know, next to my wife with my daughter in between us, knocked out. What could be better than that, Courtney?
Oh, wow. Nothing. I'm sitting here smiling. That's wonderful.
I have no place to sleep at night. I sleep halfway, falling off the bed, because my daughter is taking up my spot. But that's the best night's sleep in the world. See, people think that the best sex is the best feeling in the world. Now, that's nothing. That's selling yourself short of the dream. We are dangerously close, guys, to this being one of the best shows of all time. I feel it. We're very close. Because I'm saying that, and I don't even really say that like that, in the midst of the show. But this is one of those shows that, and that's strictly because we've spoken how many scriptures, how much stuff have we said from a strictly biblical perspective. Now that I just got the Einstein moment, the light bulb went off and said, wow, ding, 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 ding. The show is the best when you do nothing but talk about scripture.
Have
you noticed that?
Yeah.
Those are the best. I mean, yeah, we have some great shows where we just kind of keep it real, but there's nothing better than what we're doing here is talking about love and just life and dating and relationships from a strictly biblical perspective. So it is what it is. It's funny because you don't see some of these fake shows where they omit God. They're just like trash. They're horrible.
Yeah.
Like Steve Harvey stuff. Go watch. Go try to listen to Steve Harvey talk for 3 hours and see how that – let me know how that works out for you. Be ready to pull your freaking hair out. Go listen to any of these people for 2 hours, let alone 3 hours. Nobody's tired. Nobody's ready to go to sleep right now. That's why? Because the Word of God is entertaining as well as informative. But look, let's look at what else the Bible says. It says here is that over in 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us, because God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So basically, you see what it's saying. Because God is love, if you have love, then that basically means you're going to be on one accord with God pretty much, and God will abide in you. And if you have God in you, that means that people will see God in you because his light will shine through you, and that is what will attract the man of God, the man that God has for you. But it all starts with opening yourself up, because if you have the emotional wall up, you have the guard up, ladies, well, then God can't get it. He can't get in you, and people won't see God in you because he won't be there. They'll see the guard. The guard keeps everything out. You protect your heart, you lose out on love. You guard your heart, it's a wrap. It's like putting a fence up. You can put a fence up around the whole house, but how's the mailman going to get in? How's your food going to get in? How's the things that you need going to get in? Nobody's going to get in. You'd be like Walter White up there in some type of cabin in New Hampshire. See, now Courtney's scratching her head. She said, what, Walter White? Who's
Breaking
Walter
Bad.
White?
I don't watch that. Yeah, I know.
Oh yeah, see. The Breaking Bad fans out there know about Walter White up there in New Hampshire. Yeah, classic show. You guys are psychos if you don't watch it, man. I'm telling you, check that show out. Get it. You got to give it some time. Funny thing is, Prison Break was slow too, though, in the first couple episodes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Actually, I disagree with that. No,
okay.
I disagree with that. I liked it from the beginning. Yeah.
Wow, that's it. Okay. See, I think like I didn't get into it like maybe like three episodes in, but yeah. Anyway, so that's 1 John 4:16. Couple other, actually one more that we'll do, and I want to play this song, and then I want to talk about these lyrics to really accentuate what love is from an everyday perspective. Bible says here, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, but hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. And that's in Romans 12:9-11. But it says here, love has to be genuine. We got a lot of fake players out here acting like they're in love, fronting like they're in love. But the Bible says that love has to be genuine. It can't be fake. If you're in a fake situation, if you're in a fake relationship, well, then guess what? You're not in love, guys. You know what I mean? It has to be real. The relationship has to be real. You can't be in love with a friend with benefits. You can't be in love with your Friday night freak. You can't be somebody's jump off and because it's not real. It says love has to be genuine. It says to abhor what is evil, yet hold to what is good. Well, what's evil? Well, things that are sexually immoral are evil. Fornication is evil. You know, getting your back blown out on Saturday night and then going to church Sunday morning is evil. You know, it has to be genuine here. It says we should hate which is evil. We should love one another with brotherly affection. And this is the deep, this is like the you know, the money shot right here. Right here from a biblical perspective, it says to outdo one another in showing honor. That's amazing right there. You know, because that's what we see in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. But in a good way though. Like people try to outdo each other with posting these biblical scriptures. No one talks about it. No one really says anything about it, but that's what's going on, which is a good thing. You know, with this relationship advice, people try to outdo one another to see who can give the best relationship advice, to see who can save the most lives, to see who can be the biggest blessing that day. And I'm cool with that. Because why am I cool with that? Because the Bible says that's what we should do. Courtney should be trying to outdo me with seeing how many lives she can change from a counseling perspective. You know? Cheryl should be trying to outdo me to see who can post the best scriptures. You know, Lewis and I should be dueling and battling each other to see who can post the best advice to women from a biblical perspective. But it's all in love. We are out trying to outdo one another in showing honor and showing love. That's okay. And if you're not doing that, if you don't have that competitive spirit when it comes to saving lives and being a blessing, well, then you're not doing something right. You'll compete for a man. You'll fight with a woman over to see who can get the guy, but you won't fight with somebody to see who can change the most lives, in which case it really isn't even fighting. Isn't that amazing? I'll be honest with you guys. See, that was God. God just showed me that just now because I had that here, but I planned on saying something totally different. But God said, no, you gotta talk about that because that's really what it's about, which is crazy. What are your thoughts, though?
Wow. You know what? I hadn't even viewed it that way. That was a great way of interpreting that. I thought that was excellent. I agree with you 100%. You know, that is what love is. And in addition to that, you know, even, you know, in the context of a relationship between a man and woman, you know, wanting to outdo each other in a good way, meaning wanting to do for one another. You love each other so much and that love is there that you're willing to sacrifice for one another. That's how I took it. That'd be another spin to it. But all in all, I mean, that's great advice.
Yeah, man. Bible is crazy, man. Bible is the most entertaining book ever. I want to play this song by Beyonce, this 1+1 song. Many of you, and I've played it, I think I played it the last time we did the special on love, but it's a timeless song. And think of this song, as you listen to the lyrics, we're going to come back and talk about it. Think about this in the context of exactly how you, as women, will view the man that God has for you. This song ends up being the dream when you are found by the man that God has for you. Listen to these lyrics. I may or may not play the whole song, but we're definitely going to come back and talk about it. Be right back.
If I ain't got something, I don't give a damn. people too. And it's me and you. That's all we'll have when the world is through. Cause baby, we ain't got nothing without love. Darling, you got enough for the both of us. So come on, baby, make love to me. When my days are low, hold me in close. And don't let me go, make love to me. So when the world's at war, that I love heals us all. Right now, baby, make love to me. By you, hey, and I don't know when I'm gonna die, but I hope that I'm gonna die by you, hey, and I don't know much about fighting, but I know I will fight for you, hey, just when I fall on my fist, I realize I'm laying right next to you.
Guys, that was Beyonce, 1+1. Now, a lot of people may say, well, Daydon, you know, I thought you didn't like Beyonce. You know, why would you play a Beyonce song to talk about love? Well, the thing about that is that I'm not a hater, okay? If Steve Harvey came out with a book totally opposite of everything that he's ever said in regards to dating and relationships from a biblical perspective, I would support that. See, I don't, and if Beyonce changed her life tomorrow, and made music that uplifted women from a biblical perspective, then I would support that. You know, I'm all about positivity. And this song is a positive song. And I want to talk about the words, because as you heard, that song epitomizes, not from a single standpoint, you know, but from a married woman standpoint, how you will feel. Now, I'm not saying that that's how she feels, but how a woman who has been found by the man of God, you know, or a man that God has for her, will feel. And we'll talk about these lyrics, because this song is music to a man's ears. It's music to my ears because it's how every man wants his woman to feel about him. Courtney, as a woman, do you want to be singing these lyrics about a certain, about your future husband?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I do. You know, it's funny because it goes, it's totally different from the independent woman, you know, song. It's like the complete opposite because it's talking about, you know, true love and depending, you know, being dependent on a man and vice versa, it being, you know, that mutual, you know, love. It's a good song. It's a really good song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about this song a little bit. Let's talk about here, because, you know, like I said, we have some time. If I ain't got nothing, I've got you. You know, and that's just, even before we go any further, that it's in and of itself is a classic line there, because, you know, in life, a lot of times life will throw you curveballs, you know, and that doesn't mean that you're relying on a man to complete you, but it basically means that even when everything is going wrong, you know, and I don't have anything else, I know that I have your love and I have your support. And that's what love is. It's support even when you don't feel like supporting. It's loving when you're mad or loving when you're angry and you don't feel like loving, but you still love and you still support. You know, if I ain't got something, I don't give a damn because I have it with you. You understand that these are things that that elite man, that godly man, will have you saying. He will have you feeling. See, there's a lot of hurt and pain and resentment and disgust in the voices of these women. But you don't hear that from these lyrics. You know, she's saying, I don't know much about algebra. Well, that's not because of love. That's because she dropped out of high school. That's only because of that. You know what I mean? That's because
that
she just
got
the GED. She just got a GED last year. So the reason she knows not a lot about algebra is because, you know what I mean? But that being said, she says, they don't teach algebra. That comes later on. That came after she dropped out. You know what I mean? So she doesn't know anything about algebra. She all she knows is 1 + 1 = 2.
Oh my god, I'm in tears. That was funny.
We're going to stand up, guys. So you guys don't realize I got some jokes, man. But I keep it. You know, it's good to have fun, though. I'm just joking. I'm sure Beyonce is a very intelligent young woman. But anyway, it says, no, but I don't know much about algebra, but I know that 1 + 1 = 2. And it's me and it's you. And that's all we'll have when the world is through. Because this is where you get into some other hidden stuff they like to throw in there with the double entendres and all that stuff. But I don't even want to talk about that right now. But, you know, there's a lot to this. But, you know, when the world is through, when everything goes, kind of like that whole notebook thing, you know, as they were both dying, they died holding hands. Which was amazing, which was a great scene. A lot of people love The Notebook. You ask most people, what's your favorite love story? They'll tell you The Notebook. Why? Because that's what everyone wants. It's funny. All black women say, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite artist? Oh, yeah, I love Beyonce. Oh, okay, what's your favorite movie? Well, I love The Notebook. What the heck? How do you love both? How do you love music that glorifies being single, but your favorite movie is a love story that epitomizes what love is all about? It's craziness. Total craziness, hypocrisy. But that's what it's like when you die, when you all you have, whether you're broke, whether you're rich, whatever you have, it doesn't matter because you have that person with you. Saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'll never forget this. Gives me chills. Makes me emotional even when I think about it. My grandma, at the funeral of my grandfather, see, my grandfather, he died when he was 100. You know what I'm saying? My grandmom just passed. She lived 10 years after my grandfather passed. And, you know, she was never the same. Because that was true love. They had been together literally their whole lives. You understand that? And when at the funeral, I've never seen it. She's like my grandma was the most happiest and delightful and just upbeat woman you ever meet in your life, most friendliest woman you'll ever meet. You know, most friendly woman I've ever met, the nicest woman I've ever met was my grandma. But when he at the funeral, she literally, it was like she tried to throw herself into the grave. She just cried out because it was like that was the level, and I think people had to like restrain her. Because that's how emotional she was when they, you know, lowered him into the ground, you know. And to be, and that's true love. Nowadays, when people die, they're getting a calculator out, thinking how they're going to calculate how much money they're going to have, what that insurance policy is going to be like, what the prenuptial agreement said, all that craziness. That's not true love. You know what I'm saying? So it's deep. But that's all it says, that's all we'll have when the world is through. Because, baby, I ain't got nothing without love. Ironically, that's what the Bible says. We don't have anything without love. The Bible says without love, you'll be like a clanging cymbal or a gong. Beyonce says without love, we have nothing, which is, she's very right there. Darling, you have enough for the both of us. So come on, baby, make love to me. You know, and obviously this is for a married couple here, but when my days look low, when I'm having a bad day, when I had a rough day, you know, pull me in close and don't let me go. Courtney, wouldn't you love to come home when your boss stresses you up or some crazy stresses you out, to have love, to have someone pull you close and not let you go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would love that.
That's the key. That's what everybody wants. I mean, nobody doesn't want that. I mean, who wouldn't want that? See, it's funny, you know, in today's society, we see so many people, because what they see around them is so negative, they're, you know, it's given them a false representation of what love is. They'll say, well, I even had someone tell me in a counseling session, she said, well, I said, do you want love? She said, no, I don't want love. I said, well, why would you not? I don't want love if it's going to be filled with drama. I said, if it's filled with drama, then it's not love. So do you want drama? I'm saying, do you want love? Do you want what God is? Do you want what God has for you? Well, yeah, I only want it if it's going to be great. I said, oh, my God, what the heck? It is great. There's no way it wouldn't be great if it's love. If it's not great, then it's not love. You know, and we ended up having to go back and forth, but we eventually got a working definition of love and got her to admit that she actually wants love the same way that everyone wants love. She says that, I don't know much about guns, but I've been shot by you. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I hope that I'm going to die by you. You know, and these are, you know, you know, that song gives me chills because that's great. Nowadays in today's society, we see women who literally don't give a damn about men. They only care as far as how that man is going to impact their life. You know, how it's like, okay, yeah, I'll support you as long as the bills are paid. I'll support you as long as, you know, you have a job or as long as you're making six figures. Or whatever, or as long as you're not in a wheelchair, you know, as long as you can still give me what I need, you can still blow my back out, then, yeah, we can have something. See, but what happens when that person has a disease? What happens when that person can't talk? What happens when you have to change that person's diapers because of whatever reason? You still going to be around then? Still going to love them then? Still going to be a ride-or-die chick then? See, for many women and for many men even, the answer to that question is no. You see that, Courtney?
Yeah, and it's so sad. It's really sad that the answer is no to a lot of people, because that just tells me that, you know, you're not ready for love. If at any given moment, if something were to happen, you'll be ready to walk out or, you know, step out on a relationship, then you're just not ready.
Right. It's funny. This song epitomizes the things that we talk about on a regular basis. You know, as far as a lot of women, most women will say, what can you do for me? But it's not about that. It's not about what I can do for you. It's about what we can do together, you know? But the thing about it is, well, the question is, well, how do you get to that point? How do you get to the point of a man feeling like he'll do whatever for you? Well, it's when he knows that you have his back through thick and thin. You know, it says here in the song, I don't know much about fighting, but I know that I would fight for you. You understand that, guys? And that's a key, because it's ironic, and it's unfortunately it's very hypocritical, because she sends a lot of the opposite message, you know, in her songs. She doesn't speak about or sing about a lot of what women should do, although they had the Cater to You song, which was made for a classic show that we did here couple years ago. Cater to You, Google that, great show, about what women need to do for men. Because if you're not catering to your man, if you're not fighting for your man, you know, these are probably the two best songs that she's ever made, is Cater to You and 1+1, because they epitomize successful relationships. If she made more music, I can't think of two more powerful songs from any artist in the history of music that have made more powerful songs than these two songs that epitomize love. And that just goes to show you how, you know, certain people have the ability to either be used 100% by God or be used for Satan. I tell you guys all the time, what's that song from the Fighting Temptations? The gospel song that she sings. That's like my favorite gospel song of all time. You guys know
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He still
about.
Loves me. Yeah, he still loves me. That's like a classic song from all time. You know what I mean? And it's like one of the best songs of all time, one of the best gospel songs that to this day gives me chills. And it's one of my favorite praise and worship songs. You know, how crazy is that? How ironic is that? Beyoncé has one of Dayton Talbert's favorite praise and worship songs. But that's how the cookie crumbles. That's how a lot of the stuff you can tell when people are literally have been used by God, but if you're not careful, that can go straight to being used by Satan. Satan doesn't just use anybody, guys. He doesn't use anybody. He only uses people who are being used by God at some point or have the potential to be used by God at some point. And then, you know, it's downhill from there. But, like, you know, I'll fight for you. How many women out there are willing to fight for their man? Ask any men, go ask men that. You know, how many women have you dated in your life that you feel have been genuinely willing to fight for you? I don't know too many. I can't name really any, you know, in my life other than my wife. You know what I'm saying, ladies? And that's, you know, that doesn't mean they're not out there, but it means that you guys are underachieving a lot of times, waiting for men to do X, Y, and Z for you. You know, but what are you willing to do for him to put him into that mindset? Because that's true love, where you're both every day trying to figure out what I can do to be better, you know, to my mate and for my mate. Do you think about that ever, Courtney, things you can do as opposed to what he can do for you?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I do. But I will admit, I didn't always. You know, I used to have a very selfish mentality, and I wasn't thinking about, you know, what I could bring to the table. It was just all about what can he do for me, because I always wanted men to prove to me that, you know, they weren't like my father. You know, that's what I came into it with. And so I didn't feel like I had to do anything, you know, but just sit there and wait on you to show me something. And it never worked out. So, and I see why.
Yeah, and you're speaking the truth, because that's exactly what these men do. You know, that's what these men make women feel like they should be doing. where, and if you, because if you have a great man, he's not going to put you into that category of just wanting to sit back and chill and just see what you, you're going to want to do things for him. And that's what love is. If he doesn't want you, make you want to do things for him, then, you know, something's wrong. Let our love heal us. Help me let down my guard. Now, this is where she gets a little crazy, because I know the psychos are out there with their notepads out. Like, wait a minute, Daydon. And she says here, they print out the lyrics themselves, she says, well, it says, help me let down my guard. If she has a guard, wouldn't that mean that she's emotionally unavailable, and then which would mean she's not being found by the man? Yes, absolutely. That's very much so the case for the people with the notepads out, trying to wait to catch some type of inconsistency. But you know, the song isn't perfect. But you know what I'm saying? Because here, and it does say, help me let down my guard. There won't be a guard. You will be 100% vulnerable to love and to be loved. It says, but it says, our love will heal us, and it will help me let down my guard. When you are in love, when you are emotionally available to be loved, there won't be a guard up to begin with, and you certainly won't have a guard up when you're with that man. In fact, you will feel totally comfortable and vulnerable and open to give 100% of your heart. Have you ever felt the need to have that guard up?
Yeah, it was real high. I was scared, you know, to let a guy in, because I was just so scared of being hurt, and I just went back emotionally to the last time I was hurt by someone, and so I went into the situation thinking that the outcome would be the same. So I had to feel him out first. I had to learn a little bit about him before I let him know anything about me. I had to have some level of protection, whether that was through, you know, sarcasm or, you know, just anything to try to take the attention off of me and for him to, you know, get to know who I was.
Wow. See, ladies, really take advantage. Like, if you want to talk to Courtney, you know what I'm saying, I would say definitely reach out to her, because she has such a wealth of knowledge and information and experiences from a female perspective that obviously I have nothing to do with it. I'm not a woman. She has so many stories to inspire, and many of them she shares here, which is one of the great reasons why she's the best co-host in the history of the Daydon Tolbert Show, and the reason why these shows are as good as they are, just because there's such a male-female balance of realness. Why is it so comfortable for you, Courtney, to share certain experiences and stories?
To be honest, it's all God, because I never would have thought. I'll be honest, like, I've never, like, before, prior to, you know, being a co-host on the show, I have never been this open about my life. Like, I am telling so many people across the world my story, and I used to not be able to tell one person my story. So that's only God. Like, to go from one person to, you know, the 20,000 plus, you know, that listen to the show every night, that is miraculous, and that is God. And, you know, he's just really worked on me and just allowed me to be a blessing to others. So, therefore, I can't even take full credit for that.
Well, that's a blessing. You shouldn't. Definitely give it all to God. And, you know, that's where the blessings come from. So, and I apologize in advance, Courtney. Don't be mad at me. You'll know why. You'll know why later. Just don't be mad at me. I'm apologizing now in front of everybody, but it will be funny, and everyone will have a laugh at your expense, but it's all done out of fun and done in love. All right? You accept my apology in advance?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Cool. I just want to make sure you're cool. All right. Now, so that's the song, though. That's definitely the song. That's really our special on love. That's it. I told y'all earlier that we were going to need just about every minute of this three-hour show. And every show isn't 3 hours if you're newer listeners, but when we do these landmark shows, these historic shows, these monumental shows, you know what I mean, we usually need every minute. So I'm glad that you know, hopefully you guys now have, if you didn't before, you now have a working definition of that, you know, what is love, and more importantly, though, what love is not. Okay? If you feel like you've been, and let me just say this, after tonight's show, just like after the couple weeks ago when we did the Virtuous Woman show, a lot of people had to go back and say, wait a minute, I'm not a virtuous woman. I'm not the type of woman that is described in Proverbs 31. That's okay, but that doesn't mean that you can't continue to strive to be her. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. So I just want everybody to, you know, don't feel bad. Don't feel like, you know, okay, I'm 35. I've never had love. Okay. Well, it's never too late to start. Let's start the process today. You know, get rid of any hurt, any pain, and resentment, and open up so that God can have enter your life and bless you with the man or the woman that you know, that he has for you. Any last minute comments or words of wisdom about tonight's show that you want to leave the listeners with, Courtney?
Well, first I would like to say that, you know, I really enjoyed tonight's show. It was so, so great. And it's so crazy. I'm looking at the clock. Time went by so fast. But anyways, what I will say is, you know, just definitely take heed to everything that we talked about and just, you know, definitely if you do need to make some changes, please do, only for the sake of, you know, being blessed with the love that you've always, you know, dreamed of. If you're not, if you've come to the conclusion after this show that you're not in love, that is okay. Just take this time and really get close to God, and he will introduce you to, you know, that elite man that is out there for you. So
that's it. That's it. Excellent. Courtney, thank you for being here. I want to thank everybody for listening for 3+ hours. It's a great feeling to know that you guys enjoy the show. Spread the word about the show. Follow me on Facebook at Dadon Tolbert, Twitter, everything, Instagram at Dadon Tolbert. Add yourselves to the Friends of the Dadon Tolbert Show group. There's so many great people in there, you know, great feedback, great advice, great scriptures that you guys can all benefit and learn from. And that's it, man. I'm out of here. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. We will be coming back live maybe a little bit later on this week. And, you know, we'll play it by ear. But, no, thank you for listening. Haven't already, get that copy of The Love We Had. But aside from everything else, guys, just love someone. You know, whether it's, even if it's just in a brotherly, sisterly type of way, love someone, because love is the fulfillment of the law, as we discussed earlier. So thanks, guys. And another great love song from my man Tyrese. I'll see y'all later on. Peace.
Ooh, baby, no one ever said it'd be easy, baby. The time and thank you just for putting up with me, and I'm sorry that you even had to deal with me. And even though I made you cry, I wanna make it right. Just give me some time to make it right. I go the extra mile to make you smile and just to make your day. I'll go out my way, I'll do whatever it takes. Baby, promise me you'll stay, baby. Would you just stay, baby? Times said you wouldn't forgive me, but somehow